stations are tuned in to.
Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. And that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation. Well, give me a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
I'm not insulting you, but I just kept thinking about Howard Stern.
When
I was listening to your show, I don't know, the other day when I was just checking out what to expect, but I said to my husband, I'm going to be Mary Poppins to your Howard Stern.
I just kept hearing it. I'm ducking and everything, dying in the house. I got scared. I dropped my hot pocket.
Said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids, and we bounced out. We ain't going to be in no fire. Not today.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay. Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm looking. Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. I am your host, Brian Hammer Jackson. I'm just looking at a couple of things while I'm still talking to you. And this has to deal with the show today. You know the headline, here we go. Title, Why Do Most Men Love Women with Small Titties? And it's true. It's very true. Small and natural. You know, they say women don't dress for men. True. Women dress for women. True. 100%. When you're going out and she's taking her time to get dressed, not for you. And God forbid it's for any other man because she's with you. She's dressing for women. Women are catty that way. Women will talk to you even if they don't know you. They'll point you out. Blah, 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 blah. Women have their thing. Reason I said that. And, well, that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to go over some other stuff, too, about health, nurses, and so on and so forth. Because titties, we gave them some goods, and women fell for it. Bigger the better, the bigger the better. Nah. Any man listening to me, when you're making love, how often or how long do you stay on the titties? You don't. We don't care. We're not here to titty love you. We're going for the pot of gold that's below your navel. But what's interesting what's very interesting is how much, as I got older, I started realizing people do stupid things to their body. I just had my checkup and everything. And then your doctor will tell you, you got to eat right, you got to do this, blah, blah, blah. Then I started thinking, all my life I've been eating wrong. Then if we have to eat right, why can't, then let's ban the bad food. Right? We're going to ban everything else. We're going to implement the mandate for our own health. So you're telling me it's not right. Why don't we have a federal ban to make sure that bad food doesn't get into us? It sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Then you realize that you can't ban it. They're just asking you to be, how do you say, responsible? Common sense, even though shit's out there. I mean, we do it with drugs, right? Think about it. Why are we banning drugs? But yet you let bad food, bad water, bad beer, bad this, alcohol, blah, blah, blah. Not banning that shit. And that's all bad for you. So I got curious about the lie that men tell women, bigger the better. And I reverse this to men too, with the penis. It's like, how much dick do you really need? Seriously, think about it. I mean, the orifices of the vagina is, what is it, 3 inches or whatever. You could feel a 5-inch penis. Hell, some of you could feel a 4-inch penis. And some of you went all crazy and everything with toys and freak shit. Maybe you can't feel anything unless it's over 9. I don't know. But how? And so men have bought that boogeyman issue too. The bigger, the better. Stupid. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, men, all you have to do is go to the adult bookstore and you see those dildos. Look how big they are. And I keep thinking, you go in there and you see something 15 inches wide, wider than your car. What kind of woman, what kind of lesbian will strap on to that? How big do you really need that dick? You're not taking it. And if you do take it all in, is it really an amazing feat? Or are you just kind of a freak person? So all our lives, we're talking about boobies, tits, whatever you want to call them. But bigger, the better, women are. And so I wanted to know, how much does breast implants cost? And what does it do to your body? What is the cost of beauty? And I really didn't get the answer. But I get the answer that I, we're going to hear a doctor right now. And then, you know, in fact, our coverage is going to be interrupted. And we're going to get back to titties, because I know you want to talk about titties. But right now, I am so, so interested in the Rittenhouse case, and it's live right now. They're doing the closing arguments. And you know who the Rittenhouse case is about. That's the teenage boy who went to the protest with a gun and shot those people. He's on trial. His little fake tears on the trial thing. My God, what a bad actor. But anyway, they're doing their closing arguments. I know it's not riveting radio, but it is radio and it is news. Let's listen in on a little bit of the closing argument, just a little bit. Let's see, they're getting ready to do this. Right now I see them in a courtroom, his lawyer's there, the camera's on Rittenhouse, which is the boy, and the lawyer. And that's it. They're just in a courtroom, just walking around. I'm keeping an eye on this because when a judge, this judge, I don't know about this judge, man. I have never seen this judge, a judge and a prosecutor fight like two married couples on the anniversary that he forgot the date. I mean, they're fighting like that, man. So, trying to get sound. There's no sound in a courtroom, but I can see it. The camera's on him, and they're just waiting for the judge. This is live. And so I'm riveted to this, and I know it's not the best radio, but again, it's news, and it's happening now. The way this is going on, I really think he's going to get off. They already got the National Guards already called out to make sure there's no shit. There is a judge and his attitude. I can already see him. He's already nodding his head. Okay, here we go. Look at this motherfucker.
For just 1 minute, Ms. Smith.
Oh, I want to see you. The judge knows this. I mean, this judge is a piece of shit. He did everything he can to make sure that this guy get a fair trial and overprotective, like some kind of grandpa you never had kids with, and you don't want to take him camping. You want to take the kid camping because he never had children. So as soon as it comes on live, I'm going to put it. I think he's coming on now.
Again, with another witness, Mr. Richards.
Can't wait this witness.
Okay.
Call Jacob Marshall. Sam, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give in this matter be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self-denial?
I do.
You need to do this.
Sir, will you state your name and spell your last name?
My name is Jacob Marshall, J-A-C-O-B-M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L.
And Mr. Marshall, do you know Gage Grosskreutz?
I do.
Would you say that he's a friend of yours?
I would.
And has he been a roommate of yours in the past?
Yes.
Okay. And from what period of time to what period of time were you guys living as roommates?
I want to say maybe 3 months up prior to the incident of, I don't recall exactly that happened, but probably like 3 months prior to that, he was living with me up until.
So if I said May of 2020, sound fair?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. And after August 25th, 2020, did you visit your friend Gage Grosskreutz in the hospital?
Yes, I did.
And do you remember when you visited him?
I believe the following day after the incident happened that night, I went to see him the next day as soon as I could get a hold of his family and stuff, so, yeah.
And when you saw him, did you see him in Milwaukee?
Yes.
Okay. And you posed for a picture with him in the hospital in Milwaukee, is that right?
Objection, reading.
You know, we've heard that objection quite a bit during the trial, and the suggestiveness is the offensive part of a leading question, and I don't feel, from what we've heard already, that he's going to lead this witness into an answer, so the objection's overruled.
Did you take a photograph with him at the hospital in Milwaukee?
Yes, we did.
Did you at the time have a Facebook account?
At the time, yes.
And after you took that photograph with Mr. Grosskreutz, did you post that photograph on your Facebook account?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to show you what has been marked as exhibit number 70 for identification. Mr. Marshall, can you take a look at that? Is that a picture of you and Mr. Grosskreutz?
It is.
Okay, and that's a picture in the hospital that was taken?
Yes.
Okay. And I want you to look to the right of the photograph. There's some, not that familiar with Facebook, but there's an entry that you made with your name and then some writing on it. Is that right?
It appears so, yes.
Okay. So this is a Facebook post we're talking about. Tell me if this is fair. It says, "I just talked to Gage Grosskreutz, too. His only regret was not killing the kid.
and hesitating to pull the gun before emptying the entire mag in. He said that to you, correct?
No.
He didn't say that to you?
He never said that to me.
You just posted something about your friend, your roommate, that was a...
In the circumstances and all the threats I've received on the internet, I've never been put in a position like that. Addresses of ours were posted. You know, my mother was getting inboxed. My sister. It was insane with everything going on at the time. I made a bad remark. I was trying to stick up for my friend at the time who, you know, he didn't know any of this was going on. He didn't see the post or anything.
You're not sticking up for him. You're saying what he said.
No.
Hold on. This post down here should have killed him right then and there. That's you saying that, right?
That is me saying that, yes.
Okay. This post right here is you equating something that Mr. Grosskreutz said to you.
I lied. He never said that. Those words have never came out of his mouth.
I'm going to object, Your Honor. That man is argumentative and leading.
So he never said that. You made it all up.
100% made it all up.
Nothing else. Thank you. Mr. Marshall, after you learned that your roommate had been shot that night, what did you do?
I actually went to Kenosha trying to figure out if he was alive. My sister was one that notified me. She was watching his live stream, and... you know, I had to figure out if my friend was alive even at the time. I had no answers. So I drove from Milwaukee to Kenosha to the first hospital. They were transferring him to a secondary hospital, which then he got flight lifted back to Milwaukee. So I basically drove down to Kenosha to drive back to see him in a freighter. But I wasn't able to see him until the following day, at least, I don't know, like 12 hours at least or plus after the incident happened. So
as you came... You first went to KMH or Freighter South looking for him, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And you got there a few minutes after he'd been moved to another hospital in Kenosha, is that right?
Yes, I don't know the exact second hospital. It's like St. Mary's or something along those lines, something like that.
And then when you went to that second hospital, you got there a few minutes after the helicopter had flown him all the way back up to Milwaukee.
Yeah, I actually was watching him get loaded into the flight for life. I kind of assumed it was him, and still I had no idea if he was going to make it. I didn't know the severity of things.
And so then you drove back up to Milwaukee to freighter there to try and see whether or not your roommate was alive.
Well, yeah, that was the goal, but like I said, I wasn't able to get a hold of anyone. He was obviously anonymous at the hospital. I was just trying to get answers for his mom and his family to make sure, you know, I wasn't sure if my friend was going to make it or not. So I was just, you know, following him around trying to figure it out. But,
You were worried? You were scared?
I've never been in that position in my life. It was very traumatic watching, you know, my roommate, best friend get shot. And like I said, I thought he was dead from the second of how everything played out. So, I was very scared, very worried about everything.
On top of being worried about his safety, you were also experiencing people putting his name on the internet, correct?
Yes.
And then all sorts of people who supported the defendant were making threats against him and you, correct?
Yes, I actually believe... one of the guys that was sending threats with the defendant that night, his name is like Dustin Collette or something. He's sending pictures of guns to us. That was just a little thing. Old addresses of ours got leaked out. I was in like fear for my family and fear for my friends. Like it was pretty crazy.
So this post that you're talking about emptying a magazine, was that your way of kind of trying to deter everybody from coming after you by letting them know that you guys are armed and ready to defend yourselves?
That was 100% it. Gage has never said those words. I was trying to stick up for him more or less. That was, looking back, obviously not a good choice of words to say. I put in my emotions of, you know, what I wish would have happened. I guess you could say it that way that night. But those words never came out of my friend's mouth. When I seen them the next day at the hospital, I cried. I was like, I'm so glad you're alive. Kind of let him know like the severity of everything going on social media. It was pretty wild, so yeah.
And fair to say that even after that, in the year 14 months since then, you engage with continue to experience harassment online, things like that?
The second I got subpoenaed out of court on Monday, instantly was already getting hundreds of messages, friend requests from people I have no idea.
We are listening to the live trial in Kenosha, Schutte and Kyle Rittenhouse. These are the closing statements. I've been riveted to it. I want to see it. I know it's not the best radio in the world, but this is the closing arguments. I actually think this guy's going to get off. More or less, the prosecutor and a judge, man, it's big drama. It's like Kardashian. I think this is Joe. I just want to say good morning. Good morning, Joe. How you doing, buddy?
Fuck you.
Fuck you, Joe.
I just want to let you know that it's me.
Thank you, Joe. I'm riveted, Joe. I am riveted on this trial. These are closing arguments. I know it's not the best radio in the world, but I can't turn away from it, you know? Have you been keeping tabs on
this? Well, I've been talking about it, but I haven't been keeping that much abreast of it, because as soon as I saw or heard about the video where the guy that shot or pointed the gun at Rittenhouse admitted it, the trial's over.
Right.
You know, but I have to go through all the deliberations anyway. So, but it's a toss-up as to whether or not the jury's going to come back with an, you know, with an innocence or guilty verdict. Who knows?
I know. I guess I'm like you, but the drama between the judge and the prosecutor is it is unbelievable. I mean, we already had two, like, why are you looking at me this way? And what do you mean I'm going to overrule this? It's just a little drama behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah?
Was
it something like Perry Mason or out of TV show? I haven't seen those videos. Have those videos been online?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I was watching live and my mouth was hanging down. It's like, that's me, and he was screaming and yelling at the dude. It's interesting.
How about that?
So
yeah, because ordinarily I've taken a look. I've seen some videos of other court dramas, and it is so boring. It is.
I know.
Oh God, it's boring. But if this one's interesting, I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, I'm just gonna play for a little bit. Because, again, this is closing arguments right here. Let's see if I can find some stuff that you enjoy where the judge and him got at it. It is just funny shit.
I look for it. I'm downloading some stuff now as we speak, so I'm in bed listening to your show. Hey, did you show up on time today? Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, I kind of woke up early. I had nothing else to do. there's one where he started crying. Did you hear when he started crying? A little bit.
Just got in there when I heard him say the friend, I guess it was the friend. I didn't hear him cry. Did he cry? Who cried?
Oh, yeah, let me see if I got it. Let me see what I got. Let me see if this is the funny shit.
Keep it a little bit like a tree.
Now, remember, he's crying, his hand's shaking, his face is all balled up, but there's not one tear that rolls down that cheek. Not one.
Who is it?
That's Kyle, when he took the stand on his own behalf. Here it is. Listen to this dude when he breaks up. Here it goes. It doesn't take long. Here it is.
All right.
And there were three people right there.
Sobbing so hard at one point, he was on a break. Kyle took the witness stand and his Myrtle trial Wednesday. He opened fire during blah, blah, blah.
Little bitch. See, you know what they're not really, you know what was really pissing me off? Here's what's really pissing me off with the case. And they said as soon as he started crying, the mother started crying. She's in the courtroom. Just on cue.
His mother?
Yeah. His mother.
Yeah. Okay.
Started crying. And then within 10 minutes, he was dry-eyed and back to work. There was no tears coming out of his face. But what got to me, what getting me, and people are not talking about it, and that's why I hate these social media, what do you call them, warrior, justice warriors, whatever. They're keen
on
him.
Yeah, the social justice warriors, yeah.
I hate those bitches, man. I hate the influencers. I hate this. I hate to be, you know, mean, but I'm, you know, these, the people with weak minds, you know, they follow these people and they're just, but what gets to me, it's one, the prosecutor went over it. He's not supposed to have a gun. He's supposed to be 18 before he's legally able to carry a gun. So he has a gun. His friend bought him the gun. He claims that, so they go target practice and hunting. But legally, he's not supposed to have a gun. Okay. That's number one.
He's not supposed to have a gun in, he's not supposed to have a gun in Wisconsin? Because he doesn't live in Wisconsin, from what I understand. Oh, okay.
No, no, where he lives. Where he lives. I forgot where he lives because they went over it. He, but where he lives, you could be 18 years old. There's a law, 18 years old, then you're allowed to buy a gun in a store, but he's not allowed to have it. That was established. Not only does he have a gun, nobody's talking about his fucking mother, the whore, fucking bitch. And she's up there with her fat face. Somebody ought to put a boot in it. And the reason I'm so angry at her, she was the one who took her son from one state to the other state of Kenosha to protect property, so they say. What kind of what kind of mother would do that? Knowing that, and he has an, where's that, AK, air rifle, whatever, you saw the gun. What kind of mother would say, son, get in the car, get your rifle, and we're going to some people's house to protect their property? I'm driving you. Keys in the car. I can't wrap my head around that, Joe. You know that your son is not supposed to have the weapon. They already established that. So it's illegally for him to have it. But yet he's taking that big AR-4 rifle, whatever it is. Huge-ass rifle. It looks like a sniper rifle, as far as I'm concerned. And you're telling your son to get in the car and I'm going to take you across state lines and you're going to sit there with this angry protest. It's not a protest because if it was a protest, you wouldn't need a rifle. So in her head, there's going to be trouble. Get your son. Get your gun, son. There's going to be trouble and they're going to, and we're going to protect some property. You're going to shoot somebody. I can't wrap my head around it. There's not enough shame for her. You know what I'm saying? And the second shame I have is, your little bitch son is crying on her for 5 minutes. Can you imagine how long these people, these victims' mother and family's been crying for? You can see that little bitch boy. He took their lives. You'll never see them again. And it's the holidays. How long are these families are going to be crying? How long did they cry? They didn't cry for no 5 minutes because you're afraid. You took their lives. You killed two people. Because you, it didn't even need, Joe, it didn't have to happen. And the responsibility, I feel, they should have, as far as I'm concerned, they should have put her bitch ass on trial, the mother, for attempted murder or whatever lesser charges for that. She transported her son, if he had to take a gun, to a hostile environment at 17. Not 18. He was still a minor. I mean, don't people key in on that? I mean, Joe, I'm talking to you. I mean, don't people should key in on that?
Yeah, well, I'm 17. Yeah, it's not an adult that should be, you know, transported by the mom, unless the mother was going to be in there too. But even so,
no, she dropped his ass off.
You want your 17?
She dropped her his ass off. Now, he claims my dad lives there and my cousins live there. His dad and his cousin was nowhere to be found. He met some revolutionaries there, a friend of his, and some jack-offs who were wearing Bears and Rifle Association there. It was his father. It wasn't his father's business. It wasn't. Then he's walking the streets, patrolling the streets. 17.
Well, the age factor is something that's important. If he was 21, 22, 23, 24, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Because if you have a friend and people have a responsibility or a right to protect their property. Now, if friends want to help them, I don't see any problem with that. But the fact that this guy is 17, and if he's not allowed to have a gun, then he shouldn't have had the gun.
Right.
But at the same time, they've got video where he was attacked by at least three people running away from them. They chased him. He didn't chase them. He was down on the ground when they were about to attack him. And plus the video of the guy, the witness that says, yes, I pointed my gun first at him, and then he shot. Rap.
Again.
It's a rap.
Okay, I understand the situation. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not looking who's responsible. You know, Stanley was saying something last week. That was correct.
Mm-hmm.
It was not popular. It was not liked. But he said it was correct. When they were talking about Aubrey, what was he doing at this construction site? Did he trespass?
Hello.
Nobody's condoning what happened. We hate the guys who did it. Those guys should be behind bars. But what could have been prevented for this to happen? And I understand where Stanley's coming from. When you got this fat, what kind of parental, and it's getting to me, Joe, I want you to calm me down.
I agree with you on the fact that since the kid's 17, the mother should want to keep him out of even protecting somebody
right,
else's
arm's
property.
Right.
Yeah.
I could almost understand the father. I could almost excuse it, and here's where my sexism is going to come in. I could almost excuse it as dad saying I'm a hunter, dad saying I'm with the rifle association. Son,
right.
Let's go down and protect some property. Your cousin Ed lives there. I can almost excuse that. Father
well, you know,
there.
I think in your Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in your mind, and anybody else is going to take a look at that situation, is going to think that he went down there to simply start trouble, which is what the liberals
right.
have been saying.
Well,
I mean, I've heard a compilation of about 20 anchors saying he crossed state lines just to cause trouble.
Yeah.
He got the gun just to cause trouble.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily true. There have been people who have helped other people to protect their property by standing in front of their property with guns to make sure that the potential looters know that people are there to protect the stores, the property, and the buildings. That might have been his intention, and I hope it was, and I hope that was his mother.
But Joe, but I'm with you, okay? I would even give that a break. But he did not stay on the property. He did not sit on the property just in case somebody was coming there, the looters or whoever, the mobsters. He walked the streets.
Okay.
Here's what he claimed. I was walking the street to see if anybody needs help. He goes, what do you mean anybody needs help? Well, I got first aid. I wanted to. He claims he's walking the street to put out fires and to do first aid. So now this guy is walking the street with no medical thing. He goes, did you get first aid? Well, I saw a lady hurt with an ankle, and I told her to go to the hospital. That's his mind with first aid. He claims, and did
well,
if I saw fire, I'm going to put it out. Come on.
He has helped people before. He's helped people in those kind of situations before. He's helped somebody.
It's not considered. Everybody has helped people. I mean, giving them a glass, giving them a bottle of water.
No, I'm talking about in giving them some sort of medical aid. I think he's helped people either at one of these riots or at something similar. So I think he's got at least one incident in which he has done that.
Okay, let's forget that. But I got to go down to the root of it. And again, with Stanley, it goes back to what Stanley was saying. I want the people to fry from Aubrey. I don't want them to be locked up. I want them hung. I do want them dead.
I barely know anything about that case. The only time I heard any semi-in-depth discussion about it was last week when Stanley and you were talking about it. Other than that, I haven't done any research into it.
Well, he also went with George Floyd when Stanley said, why didn't he just get in the car? Why didn't he just get in the car would have prevented this? See, sometimes the truth, when you get involved with this minutia of I want to.
They ask. What happened again? What happened? Oh, God.
Take another life?
No, and that clearly shows of...
The objection is sustained.
Gage is a medic?
He is a medic.
A paramedic and an EMT?
Yes.
Fair to say he's dedicated his life to preserving and healing other people?
Yes, he cares about the wellness and safety of others.
Nothing further.
Mr. Marshall, is this... You took this point... Down. Did you not?
After getting all the harassment and stuff and instantly seeing that comment screenshot and knowing people are going to try to twist that right away, yeah, I took it down immediately.
And you knew from this post, can you bring up the post again? You knew from the post,
because the picture on the bottom shows Mr. Grosskreutz with a firearm, right? You see that?
I do.
Okay. So you wrote it. Anger or frustration, you knew that if you said that, that if his only regret was not killing the kid, you knew that would hurt him, right?
I did not at the time. Like I said, I was trying to stick up for my friend. It was a very hectic thing. I've never dealt with that situation like that. It was bad judgment.
So your method of sticking up for your friend.
Okay, we're going to pause this for a brief moment. Again, this is going on live, but I'm a little behind so I could stop and start it. I'm seeing if Joe's microphone is still there. Joe, are you there? How you doing?
What happened? Is it your phone or my phone?
It was your phone. It was your phone.
My phone? Okay.
Yeah. Just to finish this, to summarize what we're talking about. Again, the responsibility of a parent is to keep their child safe and not in harm's way. We would all
agree. Hey, I agree with you on that. Okay, you're breaking up again. Is it my phone? Yeah.
I think it might be. Okay, wait a minute. Wait, Joe, let me see if you can hear this clearly. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. See if you can hear this clearly. Because then it might be my phone.
Possessing a firearm is to lie about something.
Yeah. Like I said, bad.
Okay, did that break up?
No, all the clips have been very clear.
Oh, then it is my phone, and I can't tell. Ellen's not in the studio, so what I'll do, if I'm breaking up...
No, you're okay now.
It's the hard part.
Okay.
I won't talk that much, but that's what...
Well, I agree with you that even if Rittenhouse has this kind of mindset where he likes to help people, it's still a possibility that he could get hurt because every BLM so-called peaceful protest is broken out in a riot. So I, as a parent, would not want my 17-year-old son, my 21-year-old son, to go there. So I wouldn't want that. Maybe they're a bunch of do-gooders. I don't know. I wouldn't want them there. But do you think that he chased people down or did they chase him down?
You know, if you go with what we're talking, please let me know if I'm breaking up because I can't hear anybody else tell me. There's something wrong here. And I look at things and say, is somebody telling me something? I can tell it's a lie because if you're telling me something and something don't make sense, it's a lie. There's something wrong here. We're thinking that this bitch is an innocent bitch. You know, she says, honey, get your gun. Get going, and maybe he didn't want to go. Honey, get your gun. Get in the car right now. We're going to go protect your cousin's property. Maybe she was the one, because it doesn't make sense where the mother will put a son in harm's way. Because they went there, they knew there was danger. So if it doesn't make sense, we're giving women too much slack saying we're the nurturer, we're the protector, we're this. Maybe this bitch, if you have the mindset of taking your 17-year-old kid, give him a weapon that he's not supposed to have, and put him in the middle of a war... I have to look at you, your mindset. I have to look at you.
I've already agreed with you on that. I'm actually, if I were a mother or a father, 17-year-old, And if the kid, what if the kid went hunting? If the kid knew about guns, still, I would not want to transport him miles away to help protect property.
A state
if
line.
There was a good, well, yeah. The state line doesn't bother me. If 30
okay.
miles going across state lines, or 30 miles without going across state lines, still 30 miles.
Right.
So to go across
right.
state lines, that to me is not even important, except for
okay.
whether or not he's allowed to have the gun. So if
right.
he's not allowed to have the gun, he shouldn't be there with a gun. A 17-year-old, even a 25-year-old, if you're not allowed to have a gun. At the same time, the government does not have the right to tell people that they can't go anywhere with or without a gun. They do it, but they don't have the right to do it. So these, the Rittenhouse family may be Second Amendment proponents. Because the government, in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, has the right to bear arms. And I think it says Congress shall not infringe upon the right to bear arms. Shall not. It means any time. Like what they're doing now, they're trying to limit the amount of ammunition people can buy. They're trying to limit the amount of guns that people can buy. They've already made either Remington or Smith & Wesson, for all practical purposes, go out of business. They're not supposed to interfere with anybody who wants to carry around a weapon. But let's say that they have the laws in place and people want to obey the laws. Again, a mother, 17 years old, that's still putting your young son in harm's way. I don't like it.
And that's interesting. And I understand the child's going to go on what happened. I understand, and it will take its course. I understand. But I have to think, I wasn't even looking at her as some kind of deviant, asshole, pervert bitch until I started looking a little further. She knew that he was not supposed to have, he could not be licensed to buy that weapon. That was established. You cannot buy that weapon till you're 18 in his state. The reason he got the weapon is his friend bought it for him. And he testified to this. His friend took him hunting, and his friend, not his father, his friend took him shooting. He met his friend over there because his friend was going to be there, pretending to protect property. Now, I'm just going with what they're doing. Okay, cool. I would even say if that happened while you're protecting that gas station or whatever it is, you had the right to shoot them. They came on the property. But when you start walking down the street with the weapon, knowing that it could get hostile, what is your thinking? You're 17. What gives you, normal 17-year-old kids are not going to walk into a gang fight, not going to walk into any kind of, the only thing that they would do is maybe get involved in some kind of mosh pit at a concert. But they're not going to walk into any situation that could kill them. They're not even going to join the war and get the benefits. So what made this 17 years old, she gets in the car, she takes him across, I'm going to still say state lines. She takes him, he doesn't even live there, by the way. She takes him there. Why is he so convinced that he can walk through the street with a gun in his head that he feels he's doing the right thing? Who is influencing this motherfucker? Who is saying it's okay?
Okay. So that's your point. That's where you want to head the probe.
My point is that she should really fine her or something.
Well, then I agree with you.
I'm thinking she should be, something's there that I think that she, I'm going as far as saying she influenced this kid. Maybe she called him a pussy.
Okay.
Maybe she said, get your gun,
right.
I'm going there. She didn't say anything to say, I'm not going, I'm going to
that's
work.
Possible.
You stay your ass home. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead, I got a little carry.
That's possible. No, that's possible. So I'm agreeing with you of the possibility. Yeah.
Right. Because we're usually saying the stereotypical man, beard, son, get your gun. And women will look at the father. I guarantee you, Joe. I guarantee you, if it wasn't the mother, I guarantee you social media would have butchered the father for taking his son to a protest that could be in a hospital. You know those bitches on social media, they would have attacked that man. You know they would have, Joe. What kind of father does this? But since it's a mother, they're not even going after her. You know, what kind of mother would take a son to this? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I'm not on social media. The only comments I ever read would be on YouTube when I go to a video. But I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. What's the other one? Reddit. I think there's another one, too. I'm not on any of them. So I don't read them. But, okay.
They would have butchered. I would bet you anything that if a father took his son there, dropped him off, then he goes to work, leaves his son in that hostile environment, unsupervised with any kind of adult, mind you, without adult supervision, that's like dropping me off at a whorehouse at 17. All right, Brian, you be good. With a fistful of 50s. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 17, and you drop me off at a whorehouse with a fistful of 50s. Now, you be good, Brian. I'll be back in about 5 o'clock. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I won't go inside, Dad. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be good. I'll pick you up at 4:15. Okay. And not only that, she goes, before we go to this place where we're going to babysit you, because she's not going to say it's a whorehouse, we're going to stop at the liquor store and get you some condoms. Okay. All right, now I'm going to drop you off at the whorehouse.
Yeah. Well, that's a very caring mother. I know that.
Yeah. I tell you, my mother really loved me. She served 10 to life.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother loves me so much I got 10 to life. What a darling mother I got, I tell you.
10 to life for touching me and love. She loved me too much.
She loved me so much. She got 10 to life. Yeah.
She got 10 to life. Oh, I had to kick her out of bed once. I needed some sleep. Oh, she really loved me.
Oh, she loved me. Yeah, I like that one. Hey, Rodney, that would have been too racy for even Rodney.
I know.
Yeah, she loved me so much, I had to kick her out of bed. What a ma. What a ma.
What a mother.
Yeah. What a mother.
Oh, that's so disgusting. How low can I go? But it's the same thing. Joe, it's the same thing, right?
You have a guy
with a loaded weapon.
Boy.
I'll pick you up at 4:15. Try not to kill everybody. You only got 6-7 bullets. Come on. Here we go. Jeez. That's what's getting to me. And they're not really blasting her for putting him, a minor, in that situation, taking him to a hostile environment that something could happen. Nobody was policing him, excuse the word, literally. There was no adult supervision there for him. He didn't even know how to work the rifle. That came in the prosecution was saying, you know how to do the rifle? You know the difference between this bullet and this bullet? No, he didn't. So you're putting your child in a situation where he didn't really know how to operate that gun. He just wanted it.
I didn't hear that testimony, but from what you're saying,
Not
knowing the difference between a bullet that goes into AR-15 and a bullet that goes into another caliber gun.
Let me be clear. He didn't know the difference between a hollow bullet and a regular bullet and what a hollow bullet does and that kind of thing. He barely learned the term racking a gun when you're pulling the gun out, shooting out the bullet, and pushing it back in. Bullets or anything. Let's just put him in the war. It's like private, I can see it now. Well, there's a war breaking out, and we need some, you're in the Army, and we need some volunteers. Private Jackson? What? I wasn't even paying attention to you. I wasn't
volunteered.
Volunteered.
God.
I just got in basic training. What is that? It's called a gun. What does it do? You're ready. You're going to front line. Okay. Do I point it this way or this way?
I was lucky.
You'll be fine.
Since I was in the Air Force, I had a very good chance of not going to the front lines. There's always that possibility. I think there was an unwritten law that when I was in the Air Force, the first 2 years, you were probably protected from going and fight.
Mm-hmm.
The next two
mm-hmm.
years, yeah, there's no guarantee that they wouldn't send you to the front. in country,
right?
Wherever, whatever the terminology would be. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I now have a son who familiar with the rifle, but not familiar, comfortable with the rifle. Under 18, I'm going to drop him off in a hostile environment. I'll pick you up at 4:45. So I have to look at the mother. Joe, I'm thinking she's skating, man.
I agree with you.
Why don't we have her under arrest?
Yeah.
It's pissing me off. I know I'm repeating. You agree with me. But I'm sure if it was his father that he would be under so much shame and the social media. But no, it's a woman. And we're looking at her like she's a nice mother. And they interviewed her. What are you worried about? I'm afraid that my son's going to go to jail. Bitch. What do you think he was going to do when you drove? All right, enough of me.
Yeah. Well, I would be interested in an interview. But the fact that he doesn't know the difference between a hollow point and a regular bullet.
Right.
Well, I think anybody knows the difference. A hollow point has a convex
trajectory
point,
and it goes on and on and on. It goes through the surface and continues further. It could go right through your body.
Well, so is a regular bullet. But the hollow point can explode. And,
oh, is that what it is?
It has a different look to it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the hollow point has a different, has a different look. You can tell it's different right away. But the fact that he doesn't know one from the other doesn't mean he doesn't know how to operate a gun.
That's true.
I never shot hollow points, but I was a decent shot.
Right. Well, okay, I learned something. Thank you, Joe. I can tell I don't have a weapon, and when I did use it, I had to get rid of it and call off the numbers, and, it was just a hassle. Back to the show.
Oh,
okay, that's my life. it had black tape on it. I couldn't even tell if it was a gun.
I can just imagine you in the Army putting together an M16 for the first time. Hey, wait a minute. This thing, hey, drill sergeant, this thing looks like it's going to shoot me in the head. Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, man, can you imagine me like that? Oh, damn.
You know how many people will be running away from you and they say, Private Jackson, did you finish your gun? No, sir. I'm putting it together now. And the other privates are looking at you, and the barrel's sticking out one way, the stock is sticking out the other way. You got the trigger at the beginning of the barrel, and people are going, get out of here before we kill somebody.
I know. Hey, Sarge, where's the directions? I mean, where's the pay? I would be that guy. I'm looking at the C and the D and the A. I'm copying somebody. Oh.
Yeah, right, like a Lego. Let me see. Point A goes to point B.
Exactly.
You got any Legos around here, Sarge?
Just send my ass to the front with a knife.
Here you go.
Right, just give me a knife.
Just give him a knife. Here's a bayonet. Go. Okay.
Yeah. You don't need the rifle. You got the bayonet. Go.
Exactly.
Sure.
How come you give me the pocket knife?
I went
knife?
To your description page. How you like small titties?
We're going to discuss that too. In fact, we'll discuss.
Oh boy!
Because this trial is going to go on for another 3 hours. So, and
if they got closing arguments, they got today should be the last. Who's doing the closing argument now? Is it the prosecution or the defense attorney?
Right now, what's up is the defense attorney. That's up. Right now they have one more witness. They just want to call this witness. Then I guess after this witness, they're going to do the closing arguments. So it's usually up front. So usually the first one is
the
prosecution.
I want to hear the closing arguments too. So after this witness, when you play that clip, if I'm not asleep, I want to hear it.
he comes back. They put him back on his stand because I'm fast forwarding it. So the motherfucker comes back. So let me. Continue this, and I just have to tell people if they're listening, this is Brian Hammer Jackson Show. We're listening to the live closing arguments of Kyle Rittenhouse. Here we go. All right.
Like I said, it was going to be bad. It was a bad judgment, bad call on my part of even wording something like that, and it was out of pure anger. That's really all I have.
considered Room 7D?
I have no other questions.
Any objection?
I have no objection to the exhibit, and I have no further questions.
You may step down, sir. Steve?
Your Honor, we would recall Anmol Kindry.
I'm going to make sure I got the right one because I thought this was the live one. Hold on. I'm going to make sure I got the right one.
You're still under oath, sir. No.
I could have sworn this is the live one. I can find it out real quick. Oh, no, I heard the head of it. No, I don't want
to
be...
You want me to go over? Wait, wait, wait.
Yeah,
okay, sorry. Good morning, Mr.
Good morning, sir.
And the judge has told you that you are still under oath. You understand that?
Yes.
And you, do you recall testifying... the state had called you as a witness...
I fucked up. This is not... Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. This is Stream Live November 10th. This is the 15th, motherfucker. Wait a minute. I've been on the wrong thing. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I just heard right now. Watch live. It says watch live. Live now. Okay, this is live now. Here we go.
Circumstances of the conduct showed utter disregard for human life. You should consider these factors. What the defendant was doing, why he was engaged in that conduct, how dangerous the conduct was, how obvious was the danger, whether the conduct had regard for human life, and all other facts and circumstances relating to the conduct. If, as to the first count, you are satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that both elements of this crime have been proved, and that the defendant was not acting lawfully in self-defense, as I have instructed you on the law of self-defense, then you should find the defendant guilty of reckless homicide of the first degree as charged in the information. If you are not so satisfied, then you must find the defendant not guilty on this count. Counts 2 and 3 of the information accuse the defendant of the crimes of recklessly endangering safety. Although the elements of each of these charges are identical, the rules of self-defense which apply to them are not. The second count of the information charges that at the same time and place, the defendant recklessly endangered the safety of Richard McGinnis under circumstances which show utter disregard for human life. The third count of the information charges that at the same time and place, the defendant recklessly endangered the safety of an unknown male under circumstances which show utter disregard for human life. First-degree reckless endangerment, as defined in the criminal code, is committed by one who recklessly endangers the safety of another human being under circumstances which show utter disregard for human life. Before you may find the defendant guilty of reckless endangerment of the first degree, the state must prove by evidence which satisfies you beyond a reasonable doubt that the following three elements were present. First, that the defendant recklessly... and the risk of death or great bodily harm was unreasonable and substantial, and the defendant was aware that his conduct created the unreasonable and substantial risk of death or great bodily harm. Great bodily harm means injury which creates a substantial risk of death or which causes serious permanent disfigurement or which causes a permanent or protracted loss or impairment of the function of any bodily member or organ or other serious bodily injury. The third element is that the circumstances of the defendant's conduct showed utter disregard for human life. Again, in determining whether the circumstances of the conduct showed utter disregard for human life, you should consider these factors: what the defendant was doing, why the defendant was engaged in that conduct, how dangerous was the conduct, how obvious was the danger, whether the conduct showed any regard for human life, and all other facts and circumstances related to the conduct.
there's this fat mom with her fat face in there. I still say she's a reason for all this.
But what are they doing now?
Her. Shuffling some papers.
Her mother looks like some piece of trash that you pick up on the ground. Look at her and her stupid cleavage. I want to punch her in the face. I can't have nothing but contempt for her, Joe. I mean, it's a shame what's happening. But they're, right now the judges, they have the camera just looking at people until the judge gets his act together. I'll try to find the closing argument. Oh, here it is. But he's already giving instructions right now. I wonder, should I just switch to the closing arguments? What do you think?
Yeah.
Or is this ripping?
I want to hear.
All right, let me just save that because I do want to see that. Okay, here's the closing argument. Okay, let me see.
The banana.
A banana.
So... Huh. Yeah, okay. Stupid camera. Oh, they're talking about empathy.
All right.
Oh, it's live and there's people talking. I can only read. They have the chat room open. I'm going to play it for you, the closing arguments, but they do have a chat room open, and people are talking. If you say that he's guilty, you're Antifa. Black Lives Matter, stand with him, put him away, lock him up. One juror said... Stupid thing. That's Trump.
Hey, you know, you just got cut off for a few seconds.
Okay. Am I back?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a lot of, I'm getting, I don't know why people put on chat rooms because they're nothing but trolls. Anybody who has any kind of substance, Joe, you or I or any normal person, would you bother being in the chat room while this is going on and you want to just say your little message? Majority of these people are just trolls anyway. Why? And that's why I don't open up the chat room when I do this show.
Yeah, I know. You told me before about why you don't like to have it. But you can if you wanted to. You can actually watch the chat room and the switchboard at the same time by knowing how to shrink the windows. Do you know how to do that?
Right. I know how to do it, but again, majority, we have had trolls on this show just come on and call in. If they're going to troll my show, make them work for it. Let them use their voice. It's just nothing. I'm convinced that any chat room or any kind of thing is nothing but trolls, you know. Here are some of the things people are saying.
Well, a lot of trolls go there, yeah.
Yeah, White Lives Matter, guilty, guilty, guilty. It's the same bullshit the same people are trolling. Not guilty, guilty, guilty. The judge screwed up, mistrial. And these people should be in school, right? And you know they're teenagers. And these are the people. All right, closing argument.
Well,
a lot of them
are sock puppets.
Yeah, that's true. Let me see.
So
the closing argument.
They got the closing arguments? Okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
Three. I did read all of the ingredients, but I'm just going to reread a portion of that instruction so it's clear that there are three elements to that crime. And I also used the word both of the elements, and it's actually three. So I apologize for that mistake. And we'll stop with the reckless endangerment for a moment and return to the reckless homicide. And the elements of reckless homicide are that the defendant caused the death of another, that he did so by criminally reckless conduct, and the third element, which I read as part of the second, is that the circumstances of the defendant's conduct showed utter disregard for human life. And what tipped me off is, other than causing death, the reckless endangerment, which I've been reading now, has those same three elements. So utter disregard for human life is one of the elements of the both crimes. And in order to convict on the first count, you must find the presence of all three of the elements of first-degree reckless homicide, and also find beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was not privileged under the law of self-defense. Is that clear? Thanks. Thank you very much. Getting back to the reckless endangerment charge with respect to Mr. McGinnis, there is evidence in this case that the defendant was acting in self-defense as to Joseph Rosenbaum. The fact that the law may have allowed the defendant to use force in self-defense as to Joseph Rosenbaum does not necessarily mean that recklessly endangering the safety of Richard McGinnis was lawful. You must consider the law of self-defense in deciding whether the defendant's conduct as to Richard McGinnis was criminally reckless conduct, which showed utter disregard for human life, but the defendant does not have a privilege of self-defense with respect to Mr. McGinnis. So the defendant would enjoy a privilege of self-defense with respect to Mr. Rosenbaum if you find the factual ingredients of that. But that doesn't mean that if he endangered the safety of Mr. McGinnis was privileged under the law of self-defense, because Mr. McGinnis was not attacking him. However, you must consider the law of self-defense in deciding whether the defendant's conduct as to Richard McGinnis was criminally reckless conduct, which showed utter disregard for human life, but he does not have a privilege of self-defense as to Richard McGinnis. The law of self-defense allows the defendant to threaten or intentionally use force against another only if the defendant believed that there was an actual or imminent interference with the defendant's person, that he believed that the amount of force he used or threatened was necessary to prevent or terminate the interference, and that his beliefs were reasonable. The defendant may intentionally use force which is intended to or likely to cause death or great bodily harm only if the defendant reasonably believed that the force used was necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily injury to himself. His beliefs were reasonable. The standard is what a person of ordinary intelligence and prudence would have believed in the defendant's position under the circumstances existing at the time of the alleged offense. The reasonableness of the defendant's beliefs must be determined from the standpoint of the defendant and the time of his acts, and not from the viewpoint of the jury now. You should consider the evidence relating to self-defense along with all the other evidence in the case in deciding whether the defendant's conduct created an unreasonable risk of death or great bodily harm to Richard McGinnis. If the defendant was acting lawfully in self-defense with respect to Joseph Rosenbaum, his conduct did not create an unreasonable risk to another. The burden is on the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant did not act lawfully in self-defense, and you must be satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt from all of the evidence in this case that the risk was unreasonable. You should consider the evidence relating to self-defense in deciding whether the circumstances of the defendant's conduct showed utter disregard for human life. The burden is on the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant did not act lawfully in self-defense. And you must be satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt from all of the evidence in this case that the circumstances of the defendant's conduct showed utter disregard for human life. If, as to each of these counts, you are satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that the elements have been proved and that the defendant was, you should find the defendant guilty of reckless homicide of the first degree. If you are not so satisfied, then you must find the defendant not guilty. The fourth count of the information charges that at the same time and place, the defendant caused the death of another human being, Anthony M. Huber, with intent to kill that person. This is a charge of intentional homicide of the first degree, and you must consider first whether the defendant is guilty of that offense. If you are not satisfied the defendant is guilty of first-degree intentional homicide, you may consider whether or not the defendant is guilty of second-degree intentional homicide or first-degree reckless homicide, which are less serious degrees of criminal homicide. The crimes referred to as first- and second-degree intentional homicide and first-degree reckless homicide are different degrees of homicide. Homicide is the taking of the life of another human being. The degree of homicide defined by law depends on the facts and circumstances of each particular case. While the law separates homicides into different types and degrees, there are certain elements which are common to each crime. Both intentional and reckless homicide require that the defendant have caused the death of another. First and second degree intentional homicide require the state to prove the additional fact that the defendant have acted with the intent to kill. First-degree reckless homicide requires that the defendant acted recklessly and that the circumstances of his conduct showed utter disregard for human life. It will also be important for you to consider the privilege of self-defense in deciding which crime, if any, the defendant has committed. The Criminal Code of Wisconsin provides that a person has privilege to intentionally use force against another for the purpose of preventing what he reasonably believes to be an unlawful interference with his own person by the other person. However, he may intentionally use only such force as he reasonably believes is necessary to prevent or terminate the interference. He may not intentionally use force which is intended or likely to cause death unless he reasonably believes that such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself. As applied to this case, the effect of the law of self-defense is the defendant is not guilty of any homicide offense if the defendant reasonably believed that he was preventing or terminating an unlawful interference with his own person or reasonably believed the force used by him, and reasonably believed that the force used by him was necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself. The defendant is guilty of second-degree intentional homicide if he caused the death of another human being with intent to kill and actually believed the force used was necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself, but the belief or the amount of force used was unreasonable. The defendant is guilty of first-degree intentional homicide if he intended to cause the death of another with the intent to kill and did not actually believe that the force used was necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself. The defendant is guilty of first-degree reckless homicide if the defendant caused the death of another by criminally reckless conduct and the circumstances of the conduct showed utter disregard for human life. You will be asked to consider the privilege of self-defense in deciding whether the elements of first-degree reckless homicide.
And we go on. I'm just testing to see if Joe's still awake. Joe, are you still awake?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You know what's interesting, Joe? See, I look at things that should be there but not there. What I mean by this is I have never killed anyone. But if I had to, even in self-defense, take another life, I would at the very least I'd be shaken about it, you know, and my God. This guy showed no remorse at all if you look at the trial. He was there saying, here's what happened. Right. I did, but there was no remorse about, oh my God, I killed somebody or shaken up or any kind of remorse, you know. There was nothing there. It was just him telling I went point A to point B and this happened. The little bit that you have heard on this trial, isn't it weird? I'm just saying, if you killed somebody, Joe, even in a service, even going against this, and you killed your first person, you actually took a human life, I'm not going to say, lunch, I'll be back in about 20 minutes, Sarge, Can you put the war on hold? I'm going to get a sandwich and maybe rape somebody in the hut. Give me about 25 minutes. You know what I'm trying to say? Shouldn't there be some kind of remorse?
Yeah, but at the same time, since the guy's been given so much attention, maybe he's remorsed out. Maybe he's not remorseful. But who knows?
But he's been trained well.
The guy, but you also said when he was on the stand, when he was crying, you said that it was, for all practical purposes, it was crocodile tears too. So the guy really can't win. If he doesn't cry, he's phony. If he does cry, he's phony. So, you know, what is he supposed to do? Hello. Hello.
If he didn't have that gun, my son would have been dead. But you take that framework and you put it next to Rittenhouse on the stand himself, and you then also juxtapose it with what we've heard out of the Ahmaud Arbery case. It all paints a bigger picture of who is seen as a threat, who is worthy of sympathy, and who our justice system actually works for.
You know, this continues the grand tradition of how we continuously defend guns, romanticize guns, and specifically defend white men when they use them. We've seen how disproportionately stand your ground laws have been applied to, say, black mothers who are trying to protect.
Shut the fuck up. By the way, the people who died were white people. Shut the fuck up with the black mothers and the black this and the black. Can I at least get somebody to talk about this trial without it being racist? The two people or the three people who were shot were white. Why are we bringing this in with black mothers and white mothers? Shut the fuck up. But I have to continue this bullshit so we can get to something that makes sense, so we can get to part of her. This is ridiculous.
Their home and white men who are walking the streets to be vigilantes. We've seen this American justice system jail people like Crystal Mason when she tried to vote simply because she was formerly incarcerated, or the way that it treats black parents when
what? Where the fuck are you? What the fuck? Oh, Joe's back in. Good. I can talk to somebody. Joe, are you listening to this bullshit?
I was trying to, but the thing is that your phone, I don't think it's my app. I think it's either your switchboard or BTR. It keeps getting, even before I got cut off. No, I've been cut off about four or five times so far this morning. I got cut off again?
Carrying guns. Black people carry guns, too, in the carry thing. It's like these fucking black bitches on black TV. Get the fuck off my TV. You are perpetuating racism. You're perpetuating prejudice. You're perpetuating violence. White this, white that. Who gives a fuck about white? We're talking about this trial. And you want to bring in racism. You want to get people all riled up. And you want to put this war between black and white. And you can't even answer this straight question about why is this child doing there? Thinking about the mom, her mindset of why would she bring a kid? I would like to know what was in her mind. Why would she think she could bring her son, a teenage boy, into a hostile environment, drop him off, go to work, pick him up later without an adult supervision? This is what I want to know. But don't go into, well, black people and white people and black people. This is, and these are the bitches who perpetuate racism. This might be Joe, but a different number. 323, you're live on the air.
Yeah, it's me. Now I'm going to test out this phone number because I've been cut off about 5 or 6 times so far.
Can you hear me? It sounds good.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? All right, let's go on. I couldn't play that clip because it went into black people talking about racism and slavery and white people carrying guns, and it had nothing to do with the mother. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm a black, and I'm sick and tired of it, and I'm sick and tired of you black bitches getting on TV talking about black this and black that. Shut the fuck black up. I'm just mad. Shut the black fuck black up. Can't even deal with what's going on.
Shut the fuck black up? That's a new one.
Shut the fuck. And please don't say that on a blog talk radio if you see a black man talking. Shut the black fuck up. Shut the fuck black up. Well, Brian says I could say that. Joe, the way you said it sounds so racist. Shut the fuck back up.
Oh, thanks a lot. Shut the fuck back up. You take all the credit for the Rodney and Dangerfield line because you're giving me the blame for the racist ones. Oh, that's nice.
I know. Well, here's Fox News with the same thing. Let's see how Fox News put the spin on it. And this is talking to the mother. Here we go. It's only fair. Here's Fox News. And this is, who is this guy? One of the Fox News people. Here we go.
Her son took the stand. Wendy Rittenhouse is with us. I'm sure this is a hard time for you and your family. I want to take this audience back to yesterday when your son was testifying and he had a tough time. Let me play this.
I was cornered from in front of me with Mr. Zeminski. And there were people right there.
Wendy, I watch that. I'm a pretty good I read people pretty well. I've done it my whole life. And that seemed like a classic panic attack that we were witnessing on the stand. That's your son. How does that make you feel?
I just broke down with Kyle crying like that. It made me feel heartbroken, sad, and I wanted to just go up there and just hug him and tell him it would be okay.
When the then candidate, now President of the United States, and other elected officials that don't know anything about your son refer to him as a white supremacist, I have yet to see any evidence whatsoever that he is such a person.
Mm-hmm.
And when prominent people say that, how did that impact you and how did it impact him?
When I saw what afterwards of the President Kennedy candidate debate, when I saw that, I was in shock. I was angry. President Biden don't know my son whatsoever, and he's not a white supremacist. He's not a racist. And he did that for the votes, and I was so angry.
If you are satisfied that all three elements of this offense have been proved beyond a reasonable doubt, and that the state has proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was not acting lawfully in self-defense, then you should find the defendant guilty of reckless endangerment of first degree as submitted. If you are not so satisfied, then you must find the defendant not guilty. You are not in any event to find the defendant guilty of more than one of any sequence of offenses. So you can return only one verdict per count. You should consider the charged offense first. If you find unanimously that the defendant is guilty of the highest degree of crime, you need not consider lesser included offenses. If you decide unanimously the defendant did not commit the greater crime and was acting lawfully in self-defense, myself into a mid-sentence, and I don't like it.
What the hell just happened? Okay, he called the attorneys up like a sidebar.
And now they're talking sidebar. Apparently the judge was reading the verdict. Hey, what up, King? I think this is King.
Hey,
what's going on?
Good morning, Brian. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I read your post yesterday, and I thought that you were – it was a joke, because I said, seriously, King, you're not going to promote the show? And then I know that you were talking about somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know the post that I was – you know the post I was talking about?
I know, and I just kind of hate that when I make posts that people kind of putting their heads on, he's talking about me, and, you know, just to clear this up, like, I referred an artist to your show, and I believe me and you both tried to help this asshole, and I'm calling him an asshole, you know what I mean? We tried to help him, and he claims that he kept having problems with the form. But I recall you saying, no, try this one. And he said, okay. And then he went and added you. And so I told him to add you so y'all can communicate. And so obviously my feeling is if you really want to get on somebody's show, you're going to get on it. You're going to cut the fucking bullshit excuses, you know what I mean? And so the guy, he never followed up or anything like that. So
no,
I made that post because – I made that post because it's like, dude, you know I'm on this show every fucking day. I promote
right.
it. You know that. So then he turns around and creates his own radio show, then gonna send me a fucking invite. So that's why I said, like, don't send me fucking invites to your shit if you know I help co-host the radio show. I invite people on. I said, don't send me no fucking invites no more. Like, that shit.
Right.
And I knew. And he knew I was talking to him because he commented first talking about, oh, my apologies. And this, man, dude, get the fuck out of here, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, too, I do an animation video for my song, I Don't Give a Damn. Now he's doing an animation video. And I said, really? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I
mm-hmm.
left it alone. And so when I read your comment, I said, I don't know what he's talking about. I said, but maybe he's right. It is good luck with my career because I'm going to piss some people off, and I truly don't give a fuck because
we had that talk.
Some people want to play victim when they fuck up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the sad part is I brought great people to your show. I really didn't even want to do this shit, but I said, you know what? If you give me a chance, the best thing I can do and the best gift I can give to bring someone else, you know what I mean? And so I try to pass that torch to someone else. But after yesterday, I said, man, fuck, I ain't doing it no more. I was like, forget it. And so it's like some people they want to stay on my page just to watch what I'm doing so they can take ideas or whatever. But the sad part is, I'm ahead of the game. I already know what's going on. You know what I mean? And this guy, he sends me an invite. Then he wants to charge people to get on. And it's like, dude, like seriously? It's like, okay, you've seen me make posts about bringing people on and probably charging to move people, move artists for it. Now you want to take that same contract and use it for it. I was like, whatever. And then I thought about it, and I said, you know what, I ain't worried about it. I just said, whatever, you know what I mean? You know, the thing is like that post, it was about me helping artists. But it's like, if I'm going to help you, if you don't want to do it, just say you're not interested. Don't wait until a few months and create your own, then say, well, you know what, I'm going to bring her more mines because mines might be better. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really like, I don't like that stuff because, to me, I call that shady. You know what I'm saying? I like some shady shit, you know what I mean? So, you know, I had to go back and I had to remove that post because people started seeing the comments, and I didn't want nobody getting into it, so I just said, you know what, fuck it. I'm like, you know what, dude know what he did. It is what it is, you know what I mean? And so, you know, the thing is like, I take my own time out to talk to you first about bringing somebody on. Now, if you if you think about it, I haven't talked to you about anybody coming on lately because my attitude is motherfuckers don't appreciate shit, man.
Motherfuckers
don't appreciate shit.
You're right. I was just I looked at the post and as I read it, I'm going, okay, I hope King's not thinking that I think that post is about me. It was very clear that it was regarding somebody else. So I was just trying to make, you know, I was just having fun with it. You know what I'm trying to say? And I said, okay.
And I figured, too. I said, oh, here goes Brian. I said, he's going to want to know what's happening.
No. You know what? I'm not gonna blast our shit out on the fucking internet. If there was something wrong, I'm going to call you. I'm going to say, hey, King, what's up? If they want my drama, they're going to have to pay me for it. I'm not going to give it, you know, I'm not going to blast a friend out on the internet. I just did it to clown around. You know, I was clowning. Because even what's his name just laughed at it and everything. And go, what? Because I knew you were who you were talking to. And here, let me just tell you. Here's the forms that I got. Now, the one that I may owe an interview, you guys got to understand, I'm trying the best I can, too. I'm in production. I'm doing this. I'm studying this. I'm trying to take care of business, too. I check the forms. I get the notification on my phone. I will answer everybody. The only one that I may feel bad about or I may is Brother Jadid, and I like Jadid.
Oh, yeah.
I like the brother.
Yeah.
Now, he submitted it at November 8th, last week.
Yes.
But the problem of it is that he did not – I can show you the form. He did not say when he wants to be on. Because on the form it says, okay, what is your air date? And there's no air date here.
Yeah.
So I figured that he submitted the form and that he's looking at his schedule when he could come on. That's how I looked at it because there's no air date that he said he wanted to be on. That's the only problem that I could see. I know when you submit it, but I also look at when do you want to come on, and there's nothing there. And as far as the other one, we're not going to say his name. He never submitted the form. He never submitted it again. He's never submitted it. And so I said, okay, do your own show. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Right. Do your own show.
Well, Jadid, I think he's not really – he's not familiar with how Blog Talk Radio shows are. And he doesn't know like how often they're on like that, and so he didn't. I don't think he know what to put. So what I have to do is I have to ask him.
When did he want to come on?
When
did
he want to? When was he? What day did he want to come on? Or I will tell him to add you into inbox you. That's the way y'all can both communicate directly with each other. You know.
Right.
And
I'm gonna give you. Right, I gave you. You know my email, don't you? I have three or four.
I was gonna say, go ahead and DM it to me.
I'm gonna put it in your inbox. I'm gonna put it in your inbox. I have four or five. I got a production email. I got a casting. You know, blah 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 blah.
Yeah. But
yeah,
my straight
email
that comes to me, I'm going to give you the email that comes right to me that notifies me. And all I need from Jadid, because I love the brother. You already know that. I love him.
Oh, yeah.
I respect him. He said something really nice. Here's what he said, man. The dude is so good, you know, so proper, so respectful. Here's what he said in the forum. He says, in the forum it says, give me talking points. And this is what he put. With the love and help of Brother Brian, the Hammer, and Big Chino, the love with the Army as an NWRU family, local organizing committee, and King Webb, we have put together the Barbers and Q Food Clothes giveaway and a barber hairstyle is a motivational thing. I mean, the guy has so much love and so much respect. I mean, you know what I mean? The dude is correct. He's proper. He's respectful. He's polite. And I love what he's doing for the community. You know what I mean? So the only thing, Jadid, if you're listening, is you didn't tell me when you want to come on. You know, I'd love to love. But anytime that you're ready to come on, man, I will bump people. I will bump people for you. You know what I mean? So you just let me. I think this might be him right now. 602, you're live on the air, 332. Is this Brother
Jadid? Good morning.
Good morning.
Nah, this is Pastor Don, Jr., CEO.
That's right, it's Pastor Don.
Hey, I'm just listening.
Amen. You got King Webb. You got King Webb here, Pastor Don.
Hey, congratulations, King. I heard you making major moves. I just heard it. I'm like, wow, okay. That's my guy.
Oh, yeah, man. One thing I can say is like, I enjoy being able to help my community. And even though I may not be able to be there present sometimes, I enjoy what I started, and I'm happy that someone else has picked it up and keeping it alive. You know what I mean? Like me and Brother Jadid, we go way back. You know, and I live in one of the most dangerous apartment complexes in Phoenix. You know, off 28th Street and Broadway. And a lot of people don't understand.
Oh, I know that spot. That shit's like, crazy.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't understand. Like, it can get live up over there, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, and
drop
so
that. You're not
I've been able
it, Andy.
I've been able to not only partner up with Jadid, but I've been able to partner up with people from the Nation of Islam and just get things going over there. And so, like I said, since this year, it's only been one shooting and one person was killed. But just think about it. It's, you know, we haven't had killings in the past, 3 to 4 years, you know what I mean? So for this year, for that to happen, it's just like, okay, you know what I mean? So we're just trying to make changes over there. But like I told them, what we need to do is we got to attack the management company and find out why this isn't getting done, why isn't that getting done, why do they have someone running this property the way it is, you know what I mean? But we got a lot of good things going on. And but other than that, man, it's always a pleasure to just, like, be around my people, you know what I mean? Because you got some people, man, they just lost in the sauce and don't know where they're coming or going. And so when you got people like me and Brother Jadid and others who are trying to instill them and wake them up and to the, you know, what's going on in the world and get them to be a better person, man, it's amazing, you know what I mean? And so that's what I tell people, man, you got 24 hours in a day. What you're doing in 24 hours can make a difference.
Amen.
It all depends on you, you know what I mean? And so a lot of people, man, they'll waste time with their 24 hours. But me, I try to do something every day, man.
Well, I got to take a moment and thank Brian Hammer Jackson for opening this platform and making sure that you get your message out there. That's important. It's not about what you're doing. It's about exposing it to the world.
True.
Yes.
True.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
No, thank you for even mentioning that. Thank you for you. Because sometimes the message gets lost. And I said this when I first came on. I said, this is not about me.
I'm going to say things to offend you, and if I don't, be patient, I will. I'm going to say some shit. But the message, this is all about the artists, and this is all about the interviews, and concentrate, and I try to do things to move artists forward. And I've been and it's always been that. It's always been artists. It's always been about you, Pastor Don, CEO. It's always been about you, King. And no, it has. It's always been about the artists and the people who come in the studio because they have something to say, you know. And that's what the show is about. When people say, what's the show about? I don't know. I don't know. I've been doing it for 11 years. I have not a fucking idea what this show is about.
Man, when I seen the title, I was like, I'm not sure I want to call it this show. Let me see. I was like, wow. Did he title it like that? Did he type that in? Oh, God. Yeah. He really typed that in. That was his mission. Wow.
It makes people look and go, what? And then they get to hear King, and they get to hear you. But
right, right.
But, you know, and we'll talk about the titties, but what's more important is it's all about you guys and the group. And about the and 316, I think that may be Columbus Berry, I'm not quite sure. 316, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson and with Pastor Don, CEO, and Kings of Kings, King Webb. 316, you're live. Hello?
Oh, I'm just listening.
Barry?
Hey, he said, hold on, the water is not white. I don't want to jump in this water. I'm
just
listening.
I just came in for the titties.
Yeah. No, I didn't know anything. I haven't called you guys in a minute, so I thought I'd call in and just listen to you. I don't know.
All right.
Amen.
And, wait, is this Columbus Berry or is this somebody else? Because I'm trying to listen
yes,
to your voice.
Is.
Yes, it is. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, sir.
It's good to – you got mad at me. Man, you got – I still feel the whoop-ass that you put on me last week or 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
Mr.
wow.
Barry. No, no.
Wait, what? What are you talking
about? No, I deserved it. I deserved it.
What are you talking about?
When you said, no, I deserved it. When you say, you know what? I take the time to call you and you're not setting it up and you tell me to wait a little. I set my schedule around this show so I could come in and say hello and you're not even on. I go, wow, he's whipping my ass. And you know what? I deserve it, Mr. Berry. I want to thank you for that.
Wow.
No, I did. I deserved it. King Webb had a little problem. And, you know, he is blowing up. I mean, he's getting out there. His name is starting to be a brand. His music is hitting people. But he's working his ass off, man. I see him on the Facebook. This man does not stop working. And he deserves he deserves good stuff. So artist comes to him, and he does a favor, and he's finding out the hard way that maybe some artist doesn't keep their word. And that some of the shit can reflect on him. And Pastor Don knows it all too well, you know. And, you know, it's like, hey, I'll book you on this show, and you don't show up. It makes me look bad. You know, you're learning
right.
The hard way. And so
I got something to say on that.
Yeah.
I got something to say on that.
Okay.
Yes,
let me
hear it. You're going out of your way to do that, and that's nice. And
right.
Sometimes... what somebody else does, yeah, it may reflect on you to a certain extent, but they're their own person. That just means they're not ready for that opportunity. So if somebody can't understand that, hey, you thought they were ready for that opportunity, they just didn't show up, that's not your fault. That shouldn't be punished. Your image should not be punished on that. I really don't personally think that.
Really?
I firmly disagree because at the end of the day, when you book, an artist, and they supposed to show up at 5 o'clock.
Right.
They can't show up at 7.
Right.
The show is over.
Right.
It's not good.
Okay, they don't get the opportunity. They miss out on the opportunity. No. That's not your fault. You book.
No, it is.
When you put out marketing, promotion, all that.
Right.
You put out, you're going to be there.
Exactly. And if you're a promoter, you come to me and say, okay, I'm going to book this artist. Let's assume Pastor Don comes to me. I got Columbus Berry. I go, oh, Columbus Berry. Yeah, I got Columbus Berry. Columbus Berry. Yeah, I got Columbus Berry. Oh, Columbus Berry going to be here? Oh, yeah, Columbus Berry going to be here. Oh, damn. I'm going to have a lot of chicks in here and everything. Columbus Berry going to see. Yeah, come on. Okay, I'm promote Columbus Berry. I'm going to do this. He's on the marquee and everything. Columbus Berry calls you up going, man, I got to work tonight and
okay,
won't be
now,
able to make it.
Now, what about this?
Wait.
What
then
about
Pastor this? Don says, oh, my client's not going to show. Your client's not going to show. I put in this money on promotion. I put in this money on marketing.
Right.
I put in this money on
that's
this.
It.
You got clients. You're making me look bad. I'm suing your black ass. By the time I'm done with you, there's going to be no black on you because I'm going to sue the black off of you because I lost
so,
all this money.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a question. Now, what about this aspect of now, what? How long have you been dealing with this person to where you're giving them a shot? You should know their character. I'm not going to vouch for somebody
no,
I know. That
no,
you
no,
are
no, no, no. People go left in a heartbeat. I'm telling you right now, I've been doing this business for 20 years, and people go left. They were like, I'm the best artist since Fight Red, and then you put them on the radio, and then next thing you know, they nowhere to be found. They gone.
Well, I do agree with that one. I do agree with that one right there. I do agree with that one right there. I mean, shit.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, my thing is like King Webb been riding with me for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That brother, he got kids. He got his kids in one hand, and he on the radio show in another. You have no excuse. None. There's no excuse. None.
I agree. Yep. I agree totally. You've got somebody who says, it's a business. Regardless whether it's the radio or whether you're going to meet somebody for dinner, if they say they're going to show up, they have to show up. No excuses, unless it's a good excuse. But if it's
okay,
the excuses
I
are occurring all the time,
you.
No.
No, I got one better for you. This is a better scenario. You tell the people at the parent-teacher conference that you're going to be there and don't come. It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a big problem.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to be a small-timer, big-timer, the headliner.
Correct.
Keynote speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to show up. You're supposed to be known by your work.
They don't really fucking want it. This is my opinion. That's just my opinion. They don't show up.
Then,
they don't
you're
fucking
right. You're right, OG.
Of
you
course.
You are very right.
But they are still costing the person, the promoter, money, time, and reputation. You don't deal with them anymore. After two times a person doesn't show up, I wouldn't deal with it.
I would say after one time. I mean, if you want a shot and you want to do something, I'm not going to keep up my flyer for you. You're not going to keep doing that. That's personal. I'll give you a shot. You got to show up. You don't know what you got to get on your own.
Nah, I'm a pastor, and it's so many of them gays and circumstances I've heard, but some people, they get me because they telling me that they XYZ, but then they ABC. When that happens, oh, okay, you show me who you are, I'm not dealing with you no more. That's it.
That's why people have you're right. That's why people have these contracts where they got to have skin in the game. If you're going to do something and if you don't do it, you got to pay the price financially or some other way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Pocket to their pocket.
Yeah.
Like,
people don't want to
like
separate from their money.
They have contracts in Hollywood where if they want to, they want a star, and they want to make sure that star is available. They will pay that star to not work as long as to make sure that he's available for that particular project, because that star cannot commit himself. But they want the star to commit himself, so they're paying him for his time. That's what you're doing. You're paying people for your time and for your expertise and for the fact
mm-hmm.
that if you can put fannies in the seat. That's what makes a person valuable. Can you fill up
Amen.
The stadium? Can you fill up the auditorium? If you can't, it doesn't matter how much you're bragging about. I'm A-list. I'm good. If you can't bring in the revenue, you're nobody.
That's the business. That's real talk.
How do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger made $20 million a film when he was hot? It wasn't because he was a great actor, but he filled up the seats in the movie theaters. So he was worth $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in the revenue, you get paid what you're worth, or you don't get paid. You know, that's why a lot of people
who
used to be
stars. At the end of the day, when Granny buys tickets to your show, and Granny's buying tickets, she don't buy tickets, nobody else show, you got to go. You have to go. You got to be there.
Of course.
You want to know what? You want to know what kind of aggravates me?
I want to avoid something real quick. All right, so I work at this bar. Well, I used to work at this bar. I don't work here anymore. And then they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. What are you guys' opinion on? They pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for these artists to come there. They come there. They do one song when they're supposed to be sitting there for a long time, and they dip out. Nobody knows where they go. What do y'all think about that?
Oh, wow. That's bad. Well,
that part,
they should do it two or three times.
We had G-Eazy come here. This fool played a total of 15 to 20 minutes, stood around for 45 minutes, then when everybody was looking for him, he disappeared. He was gone. They paid him $100,000. $100,000.
Oh, was that in his contract?
And he didn't even perform.
Did you ask if that was his contract?
I don't know if that was in his fucking contract. That's not his
Columbo,
contract.
Columbo, did you? Okay.
Wait,
if a guy's making a contract where he can make $100,000 per appearance, and that appearance is one time, then he's free to do whatever he wants. Then you got to blame the promoter who's paying him $100,000. But if he's skipping
that's
out on
crazy.
His contract, right, then he should be sued.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even the promoter was pissed off about it.
That's why you got to have contracts with skin in the game. That's why people don't pay a lot of people up front. Because if you want the money, you may get paid half, you may get paid 25%, and then you get the rest when you show up and perform. Because we all know that performers, they're not reliable. They'll rather go to a hotel room and trash it than show up at some gigs most of the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just all, you know what? It's all about business, man. If you're going to make friends, one thing I learned, if you're going to make friends, don't go into business. Business does not have a heart. Business doesn't care. Business doesn't care if somebody died. Business only cares about if you lose some money. I'm telling you, business doesn't have a heart. You know, but if King Webb was my client, I'm promoting him. All of a sudden, I go into King Webb's dressing room, and there's some hoes there. King, I go, what the hell's going on? King, I get my nut off before I go on stage. You get your ass on the stage right now. You get your nut off on the stage. You make more money. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
Yeah. Do it live.
No,
you
messed up, Brian. Brian,
yeah,
you should have walked in the room and said, don't get caught in the web. And I don't give a damn what you think about it.
Wow.
Yeah, right. It's like, you know, King.
And then I'm
going
to say, Brian, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get some love and affection and get this nut off, bro.
Oh, man.
Oh, there you go. Look, then I bust in the room and say, I ain't got nothing to do with that.
I go, uh-huh. And then I will say, you're not messing with the hoes that I sent up to your room? What the hell's wrong with you? I just wasted some money. You better get in there and start fucking her. She's on the clock. I
didn't ask for that shit.
It's just, you try to do, if you're going to be a nice guy, you should not be in business. I'm sorry. I hate to say it.
Wait a minute, Brian. Wait a minute.
That's the correct statement.
Brian, I want to say something before I forget. You got to pay for some hoes to come to the room where you can walk on that stage and pull one from the crowd for free.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, you're bad business. You're bad business.
Wow. All I'm trying to say, hey, Ellen, finally, welcome in, Ellen. Ellen, we got Pastor Don, CEO here. We got the Columbus Love and Affection here, Barry. And, of course, we got the King of Kings, Mr. King Webb. Ellen's here, y'all.
Yeah, well, you know what? I feel like crap, okay? That's why I'm late.
Good morning.
Well, you sound like crap, but I'm glad you're here.
Well, you know what? Bite me.
Not when you're feeling like that.
Oh, wow.
I'm vaccinated, but I don't know if it's going to protect me from that. Nah, I'm glad you're here, kiddo. You know that.
I'm glad you're here too, Mama.
Yeah.
Thank you.
She's sick, and she's still supporting the show, and I like it, you know. Thank you, Ellen.
Her voice sounds raspy. It's super raspy.
It does, doesn't it? You could make a lot of money with that voice right now. Cut an album.
You know what? Okay. Is that a good thing or a bad thing that my voice is raspy?
It depends on how much money you make. I mean, it could be a good thing. There's women with raspy voices are making a fortune. But I know you're sick, kid. But I was just telling King, and I'm helping King because with the support of King, I love King. King's my brother. And I know sometimes King gets emotional, and he'll learn that when he tries to help somebody and they just don't understand or they can't do it or they just don't think it's important enough, whatever, and then he gets pissed off. I said, we've been there. And if you do that with all your clients, man, you're going to have a stroke and a heart attack because – you can do the best you can. It's not about you. You just, bottom line, you got to know when to cut your client loose. We should have a show. You just got to know when to cut them loose. You know,
let's call it passion and not emotional. He's very passionate about what he does.
Yeah, he is very passionate.
He's emotional about the situation. Just passionate about what he does. He doesn't want to waste his time on somebody who's not as passionate as him. Because that's what
right.
I mean, you're only what you keep around you. So if you got somebody who doesn't want to do anything, doesn't want to move around, doesn't want to be successful, you're not.
Right.
So I can understand.
Well, Columbus is like, we started this show, and when people fuck me up or they don't come on the interview, and I'm setting this up, and I'm marketing and promoting, it makes me look bad. Like, people don't even go to a man's show. And I look at, I don't have kids, but the first thing I look about is my girl, my responsibility. The only responsibility I have is to my family. And if this, I'm using this as a way to provide for my family, and you do this to me, you're gone. Brian, I don't know. I lost my leg in a garbage disposal. What's your leg doing in a garbage disposal? Well, there's some shit in the sink, and I tried to stomp it down, and I lost my leg, and I can't dance tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
I'm going to say, you got two legs. You should have hopped on that stage.
Wait.
Because I'm
did he have a prosthetic leg before or after?
You got two legs. What? Huh? You know, you just got to know when to cut your client. You got to know when you're wasting your time, because I have done that, and you give them the benefit of the doubt, and they keep doing the same old shit, and they keep fucking up, and you spend most of your time getting mad at them, arguing with them, doing emails with them, whatever. Well, that time could have been in a positive use, because I look at it this way, like I used to look at getting laid. When I date a girl and I take her out for 15 minutes, it comes to that. It comes to that. Everything comes to that. No, hear my thing. Y'all spend money and say you meet up 15 minutes and let's go eat. You guys do that and you spend all that money. I meet up with them in 15 minutes and I go, all right, what are my chances of getting into your panties? And I'm hearing, well, you're going to have to take me out for another day. Hell no, because in my head, there are thousands of girls waiting for Brian to say, let's go. So I'm going to be wasting more time than I waste with this girl about her deciding if she wants to come over. There are thousands of ladies saying, Brian, my door is already open. There's a key in it. What the fuck is going on? And I'm missing those chicks. So I'm wasting my time with you. Goodbye. That's how I think.
No, if you're going to spend money, you might as well get you a prostitute, because at the end of the day, money don't grow on trees, and it only goes one way. It goes out. It never comes back in.
Right. Well, see, the prostitute, I'm guaranteed to shell some money out. With my charm, I can get laid for free.
Yes.
I get laid. But, you know, but I don't know why people go with prostitutes, Pastor Don, and I'm being honest. There are so many girls in bars and clubs are giving it away for free. Why am I hunting for some prostitutes that six other guys had her before I did, and I'm not getting the discount? I can't.
No, some guys don't have no game. They don't know how to talk to a woman. They don't know how to massage her or feel her and tell her what it is. Some guys just don't have that energy.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
So they have to pay for it.
Did we finally get on the topic of small tits? Oh, okay.
Oh, God. Here we go.
All right. Let me clear the small tits out, because some people are tuning in. I got 8 other people on 111, and they're here for the tits. All right, I'm just going to talk about the tits.
wait.
They're
what?
Here for the tits. I know what they're here for.
Hold on.
Brian's talking about titties.
What's the title of this show?
The title of the show is Why Do Most Men Love Women with Small Titties? And it's true. Let me tell you something.
I have a thing.
I disagree, personally.
Really?
When it comes to a small tits, there's a big ass that follows. Probably
was. Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. I got three kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with the pastor. All the men I know, they like nice tits. Not small ones, but nice, plump, firm ones. Perky ones.
Nah,
you know, they can be really, they can be small.
No beefing.
I don't want any huge melons pointing down to China when she gets a little older, you know.
You just have to know how to take care of them.
Take care of what? Mm-hmm. Titties?
Yes.
See, okay.
They don't have to fall to gravity when you get older.
Oh, they don't? Oh, yeah. How do you take care of yours?
Wow, that was
I'm gonna
great
get
question.
Some coffee, Ellen. Talk
well,
to
Ellen, Ellen's got some big ones. You never saw pictures of her. She's got some nice boobs. Yes, you know. So
oh,
I'm
wow.
asking the right person.
Yeah, Ellen's about what five? What are you 5'3", Ellen? You're 5'3", and you probably got some F's hanging on there, like 32 double F, triple F's or something.
Oh wow!
Ellen? No, not that big.
How big are they, seriously?
40 double D?
Good.
Oh,
you're
God
40.
Almighty. My God.
And she's like 5'2".
That's more than a mouthful and more than you can handle.
She's 5'2", and her tits are 6'1". Her tits are 6'1".
Right. Holy jeez.
See, but guys, I don't understand this. We don't spend too much time on them anyway. Why do we care if they're big or small? There's not much time we spend on them. I mean, the average...
Maybe you don't, but
I don't know about you, Hammer, but I spend time, very much time.
Am I the only female in this conversation? Where is Lisa or somebody?
No, you're representing. Stay strong. Well, here's a study. And the reason I say this, because I live in California. And on a serious talk, is that we spend so much time on the tits that we got girls, you don't realize it. Last year, a lot of girls got their graduation presents with breast augmentation. That was their graduation present. And all these girls
Now we could with Crisco. We could with Crisco because I like it real. I don't like none of that fake stuff. You can go buy it. It's got to be real.
Right. Right. And have any of us, I mean, have any of you guys seen fake tits, man? I have been with women with the low discount face tits. I mean, they're so plastic. They're like hard and like a cap of a soda cap. It's not natural.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Joe. Testify.
I had a girlfriend who had a cute face, and we met at a dance. And when I got the brow off, there was no plummeting, no going downhill, no nothing. It was as though she was carved out of stone, and it was not that comfortable. This was prior. This had to be. Because this had to be prior to the plastic surgeons putting in the saline bags. Her tits, just like Brian was just about to say, were hard. They were gorgeous looking. I mean, to look at them, they were sweet. But to feel them, it was, and I don't mind plastic tits as long as they feel real. You know, move them around, let them look fluid. But this poor girl, it doesn't bother me, but this one, she was a sweetheart. She had beautiful looking tits, but they were so unnatural. So it was like,
wow. That's a bad day at the office, sir.
It sure is.
You looking at it, it sounds good, but when you get it, I was like, oh, man. I order steak.
Okay,
what is this?
Okay, I don't understand, you know, why people want to mess with the natural shape of things. You know, because I
because
you
it
know,
gets attention.
Okay, you know what? But they're also not looking at the problems that they're asking for. Okay, mine are natural, and you don't realize the back pain I have.
Oh wow!
Well, I've heard that before. Oh.
Yeah, and we don't care.
Wow,
we don't care.
You know what? You don't like me.
We don't. There's no man is going to take off your bra and say, "Damn, those are nice tits. How's your back? Is your feet hurt? Are you gaining water in your ass?"
I'm not saying ass during that time, okay? But
right.
So these stupid little teenage bimbos, they don't know the problems that they're asking for.
Right.
And their parents should do research and everything because they've been having a lot of problems with women, you know, the bag bursting when they get inside their tits, and these women are getting really, really sick, and a couple of them have died from the poison that gets inside their body.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That happened a lot years ago when the silicone bags broke, when the plastic surgeons were using faulty silicone bags. It may not have been the silicone. I think silicone was a replacement for these particular types of bag that actually broke, leaked, and caused cancer in these poor chicks. Yeah, so she's right.
And we don't care.
You know, I mean, and
no,
you
we
know,
care.
Oh, wow. Parents do not, you know, they go and spend $8,000-$10,000 for these breast implants and everything, you know, but you're not looking at the big picture. You're not looking at the problem.
No, we're looking at the big picture, all right. And we don't care. Let me tell you something.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. They're gonna be tearing when they turn around and want to sue the damn doctor for doing it. Well, you know what, you stupid bitch? You're the one that did this to your daughter. Okay, so now you have to suffer because she's suffering.
God, that's worse than Brian. Jesus. I guess you don't care.
No,
I don't care. You know, if you're gonna do this to your teenage daughter, change her appearance just because you wanna make the little spoiled happy so that she can
I
heard it.
I heard that too. I understand, and that's what I'm saying, Ellen. These people don't understand, and we haven't gotten into the breasts and the problems of breasts. Just, I don't know why our society is craving for women, the pressure that women have, and we're talking teenage girls. Feel the pressure of them coming into pubescent life, and their friend has. Go ahead, Ellen. Go ahead.
Erin should talk to these girls, and she should say, "Don't do it." Okay, you want my problems? You know, and Erin hasn't had implants. Erin has not had implants.
Now, Erin is her. I have to explain. There might be other people listening. Erin is her daughter. Her daughter just turned 18. But at 17 years old, how big were your daughter's tits? I can't even believe I said it, but anyway, I did. Go on.
They were big because it runs in my family.
I know, but how big? Was
okay.
it a
oh,
C
wow.
cup, D cup? Was it a C cup, D cup?
She was a D.
Okay, she's 17
wow.
years
oh,
old with a D.
That's,
and now Erin
nice.
Is not a tall girl at all. Mm. Ellen's like a Putian, like, you know, the people you see in Walt Disney when the house falls down and yellow brick road. But Erin might be, how tall is Erin? She's a little taller than you.
No, she's 5 foot.
Okay, she's 5 foot. She's a 5 foot with a D cup in high school. Can you imagine the pressure on her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that unwanted attention on her.
Right.
I mean, Ellen, did you ever experience that with her when she was going to school and talk her down and saying, and how she's probably hunching over so people don't, you know, look at her in a weird way?
No, she ignored them. She told them to stay the fuck away from her.
Okay. Well, the thing about it, it's hard to ignore a woman who's 5 foot tall with V cups. Wow. Okay.
Right.
Erin's got an attitude, and everybody knew to stay away from her, not to do that shit.
I know. But, see, the thing about California is that why do people think beautiful, the bigger the better? I don't understand it. I like a natural woman. The sexiest thing that I like, if I see a woman with a natural breast, and I'm saying a C, maybe C, that comes out, you know, that she doesn't wear a bra and it just, you know, just moves on her shoulders as she's walking. I think that's the sexiest. I think that's the sexiest thing.
Oh, wow.
I really do. Versus some woman with a huge ass tits, the cleavage there, and you're going boom, boom. I don't find that sexy. I don't.
I don't find it sexy either. I think of them as sluts. If they have to show off all that cleavage, there's a way to be
right.
provocative without being slutty. You don't have to show off a lot of cleavage. Because if you were endowed with nice breasts, they're going to show unless you're going to wear a sports bra. So you don't
right.
have to show off the cleavage. If I do see excessive cleavage, I've seen this a few times, it actually just turns me off. I don't want to be bothered with you because, to me, you're a slut.
Right. Huh. Right. I have that opinion, too. It's like you need to show off that cleavage. You know, we could see it. But, oh, my God.
I really feel like it depends on the body type of the woman, too, and the height of the woman. And you know what I mean? Because
right.
the girl, my current situation, she's 6'1 and has a D-cup. Like, and they look like normal-sized tits on her. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Because she's 6'1". It's just her frame, and they look very proportional. Like, it doesn't look ridiculous. It doesn't look anything crazy. I also think it just depends on the size.
Mm.
Of her. Like, I don't think a girl who's 105 pounds should have double D's and she's 5 foot.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
that's just going to look ridiculous. You're going to look like a cartoon character. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, I used to work with this girl. She's not, I think she might have been 4'11", 95 pounds and had double D's. Like they were fake.
Oh,
and you walk around in a swimsuit, and I'm just like, this doesn't even look appealing. They look like rocks. They don't move.
Right.
Like, if you were to fall, your face wouldn't hit the ground. That's just ridiculous.
I know you bounce back up. I know. But I'm thinking, do you guys all agree that these teenage girls, I live in California. You guys are all different parts of the United States. But in California, they have so much pressure. And I said it, the number one graduation gift that teenagers got from graduating out of high school was breast implants. Not a car, not a vacation, but breast implants.
Blame social media. Social media.
Yeah, you're right.
Blame all this, like everybody. It's not even TikTok, man. It's I don't know what it is.
No, I blame
big
the parents.
Burst, like, fit, yeah, and the parents, but it's like this big thing of like fitness and all this other shit that everybody just randomly got into. Where a girl who's genetically blessed with nice tits or a nice ass puts on a Gymshark outfit and posts, oh, how do you grow a fat ass? Now all these girls want to try to do it, and they don't realize that she had an ass before she started working out.
Right.
When they start giving out breasts and graduation.
You said what?
When? I missed the memo. When they start giving out breasts at graduation? When?
Hey, I missed that too.
Oh, check.
I missed that.
Yeah.
I missed that too. I didn't know that. I never heard that.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay.
Now,
let me pull that out.
Now, I've heard parents giving people tens of thousands of dollars and then they go get dressed
right.
with that money.
There
but not
go.
Just like, hey, you're my daughter. Thank you for graduating. Let me go get you some fake tits. I don't know any dad or mom who's going to do that. I really don't. If my daughter walked up to me with my hat and said, hey, dad, for graduation, I want fake tits, I'm like, you go get a goddamn job. You pay for it yourself. Now, we can go to that car lot down the street and we can go pick
but
out a car.
But how are they going
to
breastfeed with this breast augmentation? They can't breastfeed.
Right.
They can't have kids.
Right.
I think it depends on which type you get. You can get under the muscle or above the muscle. And I think you can still breastfeed. I think you can. I'm not too positive. I don't go around asking girls to take kids taking breastfeed.
Okay.
Let me see here. I'm going to pull this up because I know in California, breast implants as high school graduation gifts. I'm reading this right now. These are kids who are 16, 17 years old. And this is coming from Greenwald Plastic Surgery. Okay, somebody has me on testing. Okay, I'm back. Am I still here? Because I'm hearing reverb. Am I here?
Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay.
Come on.
And it says here, It is not unusual for parents to give their children a present to celebrate their graduation from high school. These days, however, many female high school graduates are choosing to forego the gift of a car or a vacation in favor of breast augmentation surgery. There you go, right there in print. It says a leading New York City board certified plastic surgeon discusses the advantage and possible disadvantage of providing an 18-year-old female with a gift of breast enhancement. There it is.
But
there
in my mind, I got to say this. In my mind, you promoting sex because if you have these big breasts, you don't want to just have them. You want somebody to touch them.
Okay. Now, see, a woman would argue with you. See, that's a man's point of view because we see titties as, you know, training before we get to the nana. But a woman will argue with you saying, no, it's body empowerment to fit that dress that you always wanted to fit, or it's you feeling good about yourself. We're saying,
can I say something about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't mean to sound very sexist or anything when it comes to that, but, man, they got to draw a fucking line here now. Come on now. You can't say it's woman empowerment, but the moment you see an outline of a dick, oh, my God, he's gross or something like that. It doesn't make no goddamn
right.
And if you desexualize a sexual organ on a girl or what people appear to be a sexualized thing, and then when it comes to a male, you act like you've never seen a penis before. Like, I just wanted to say that. Sorry. You can keep going. That kind of hurts my nerves.
Also, you know,
I'm sorry.
Like girls
everybody
are doing
loves
this.
The big titty woman. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's just
really?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's take the vote.
Let me say this real quick.
Go ahead.
You got to look at these girls. You got to look at these young girls growing up, who their idols are, and all the music they listen to. You got fucking Iggy Azalea, Nicki Minaj, Doja Cat, Megan Thee Stallion. Look at their bodies and how, I mean, just all the Jenners, they're not real.
Now, Iggy is not right in that situation. She don't even belong with this conversation. She has no chest, period.
I'm talking about
so
like a fake ass test because I don't think her ass is real, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Okay, well, now, on that one, I will give you that. I will give you that. But at the end of the day, I'm saying, man, the way that I grew up, the way I was raised, when your woman, like a Coke bottle, she's going to make stuff happen, period.
Right. Right. But it's natural. You know, it's natural. It's just that we put in the heads of these young teenage girls, bigger is better. And we could go in with big dicks. How much dick can you take where these women have these impressions, like the bigger the better? It's like, women, how much dick do you want? I mean, you go into these adult bookstores, you got dick that is 16 inches, 17 inches, and they're big. Go, what's going on down there that you need that much dick? So are we?
Okay, first off, most of this shit is camera angles. Most of this shit is camera angles. The lens on the camera. So most of these people, these women think are really fucking big, aren't fucking big. It's the guys who are outside of the industry and outside in your everyday life that are the ones that, you know, I don't feel right saying this, but you know what, I'm sure of my sexuality. These dudes outside of all that shit who have the bigger dick. Like, I was talking to an ex-girlfriend when I used to date her. I'm not a small guy. She's 5'11". She said, yeah, one of the dudes I slept with, dick was the size of my forearm. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, your fucking forearm? I said, what? I said, are you okay? I said, are you okay? I said, oh,
oh God.
I said, I can't be no girl. I said, I'm glad I'm a man for multiple reasons because I'm not doing none of that. No.
Columbus, I had that. That happened to me at 28. Nice girl, whatever. Petite, she was like 5'6". Go to her place. Go into the bedroom. She had on this massive African-American. This dick must have been from Nigeria because it was a true brother. You know what I mean? That dick doesn't even belong in the USA, you know, because he couldn't get papers for that.
Oh, wow.
So she had that dildo right on her nightstand. And I was intimidated by it. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, you put that in you. She goes, yeah, I love it. I call it whatever. She goes, where are you going, Brian? I got to go get some cigarettes. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, how much dick do you need? I mean, when I came in here, I thought, you know, I was like, you know, I'm going to really surprise her. And then I see this thing, and I started thinking, how much dick do these women need to, what is these dildos 15, 16, and they're wider than your thighs? What the fuck is going on down there that you need to be pleasured by that? You know, I'm bringing my natural tool, which is wonderful, by the way, and you got some mythical unicorn
it's a fetish.
Shit.
It's a fetish type thing. It is a fucking fetish. You hear it.
I mean,
I have this thing. I said every girl wants a big dick until they actually see you. And then
right.
You see what I'm saying? Like they it's just like a fetish. They wanna have that story to tell. Or
yeah, story. I'm gonna confess. Right. I'm going to confess right here, and I would not ask anybody to talk about something on a show if I am not able to. That's the rule. I'm going to confess to that. There's a lot of pressure on a black man dating a white woman because they expect, you know what I mean? They expect there's something down under. And I've been hearing these Mundingo stories. You know what I'm trying to say? And if you date out of your race, a German girl, whatever, they're going to say, okay. Sometimes you're afraid that, you know, it's cold in here. Can you turn off the air conditioning? You know what I mean?
Let's be real. Most of these young African American men walk around here acting like they got a horse dick and shit like this. And they like, you know, a lot of these dudes go around here talking themselves a game that they don't really have. You know how many times I done sat there in front of a dude and heard him talk to this girl a certain type of way? And then her come to tell me, that's not what it was. And to be honest with you, I believe her over him because a lot of people who have stuff like that don't just sit there and talk. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless they're just like, okay, yeah, this is what it is. Like, you know what I mean? And we got to stop talking ourselves into a box. Because I mean, just be real. You're not always going to have the biggest dick, and she's not always going to have the tightest vagina that you've ever felt. Like, you know what I mean? Not always going to be the mm-hmm. People need to realize life.
That we don't talk about that.
Bodies.
We don't talk
not
about
everything is
shrinking.
The same.
But I understand.
Yeah, not everything is the same. You can't go into the bedroom and do something with one girl and expect another girl to react the same exact way. It don't work that way.
Correct.
Right.
That's
I mean,
key.
I don't want to give anybody any kind of thing. I want to be clear. I mean, I'm pretty damn good, you know. Okay. I'm not talking about I have a problem. That I'm small. I'm not. I got references, and I got one from my doctor says I am a big mess. But what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of pressure. I have felt pressure from Mexican girls, from white girls, from British Columbian girls, Germany, says, let's see it. I seen it on the internet. I said, don't look on the internet. Don't go to Pornhub. Don't look on the internet. None of that shit's real. But there's pressure. Come on, guys. Have you ever felt that pressure? That you feel that these images, that these blow-up monster images of men's dick, black men's dick, that you're thinking?
I'm
going to
tell you like this.
Right.
I got to tell you right now, Hammer. It's the selling before the sex. If you sell, oversell, you underdrill.
You oversell?
You were right. Mm-hmm. He's right about that, man. Like, you can't. See, look, me personally, I've never had that feeling in my life because I don't walk into a room wondering that type of shit or thinking about that type of shit. I walk into the room, I command my fucking energy. And I command all this other stuff. Now, if it leads me into that situation to where I have to show, best believe I put all cards on the table, but I don't go into a situation where people are wondering, oh, I wonder how this is, because I don't display myself like that. I'm more of you can see me, but you don't actually think about that until it actually happens.
Right.
I don't feel like there's any pressure on me when that comes like that. I just give off a different type of energy. You know, there are certain type of guys who give off that energy of, oh, I wonder if his dick is good or his sex is good, by the way he acts.
Right. Well, they tend to Mick Jagger still stuffs it. It was no big secret. Elvis Presley, Mick Jagger, some of these people stuff their pants with a big dick. Tom Jones used to do the same thing. They stuffed shit into their pants when they perform. They did.
Well, that's a letdown because at the end of the day, you selling sex, but you're not selling because your product is not real.
Right.
And then you false advertising when you don't know how to use a fucking tape measure. You're sitting over here trying to tape measure at your ass and measuring the tip of your dick. That's not how big your dick is, bro. That's not. You gotta learn how to fucking measure.
You guys are absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
You can't tell me I can drive across the country in a Tesla and only charge it one time, and then I turn out and have to charge it five.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Because that got me in trouble at 17. I'm like, yeah, you know, I can do this. And so I can do push-ups and I don't have to use my hand. My dick goes up and down like hydraulics. I oversold the dick. And we got to the point where she starting to give head. And she's looking at it. She goes, you told me that you were like 20 inches. I oversold it, all right? If you're going to go big, go big. You know?
Oh, man.
And, she goes, well, where's the rest? And didn't like a punk, you know, it's never my fault. I'm going, you shorted me my inches. This never happened to me before. She goes, what? Are you kidding me? You can't get me to my level? I'm out of here. What the fuck are you shorting me your inches? You better learn how to do a blowjob, bitch. Going
on. Oh, wow.
And then you got another issue. You got another issue with these guys talking, and they're acting like we can just go and get a bigger dick. We can't do that and have our shit functioning right. That's what people don't understand. And like, you can't sit here and talk up this game like it's gonna happen. Then you're buying all these things, these pumps and all this other shit, and you don't realize what you're doing is you're fucking yourself up.
Right. I am not gonna
be 34 years old
and get an inch out of it. And I'm stretching the thing. No.
You're gonna be 34 years old with erectile dysfunction. You will be.
Or it's so curved to the left that it just goes right back up into your pants. No, not going to happen. But we're going back, and we'll finish the titties. Ellen, do you have anything to say about dicks?
Wow. No.
Now, as a girl, Ellen, growing into a young woman, Didn't you have in mind that you want to find the biggest and the fattest dick possible? I mean, when you dated, did you ever look at the guy and going, okay, I'm looking at his hands because you girls do this. I'm looking at the size of his feet. Okay, I'm going to get an idea that he has a big dick. Have you ever done any of that?
No.
Okay, girls
do. I never had a problem. The guys that I was with, I never had a problem.
Okay.
I mean, they were pretty well endowed.
Now, what happened if they had a small dick? Would you stay with them? Be honest. Had a small dick?
No. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't stay with them? Really?
Hell no.
No?
Okay, well.
She said it.
But,
no hesitation. She said it exactly like
I know
meant.
She did.
It was like,
and
nah.
We're hearing it. No. Was she saying
that's,
most women are thinking about? Let me hear the dick
that's
cut
crazy
off.
Crazy because. Here's
yeah,
the thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. With like women, y'all can have the best body in the world and the most fresh sex, and a guy will still stay with you just because of your body.
Right.
And the way you look.
100.
But if a guy looks good, has a good job, and has a smaller penis, the first thing you're going to do is go try to find a guy with a bigger penis. That's fucking.
Nah. If he got a good job and he's paying the bills, that's a no-no, huh? A girl
is
God is going to provide, period.
Yeah,
no. No, she's going to cheat on that. And you know she's going to cheat on that, brother. She's going to cheat. Women are not satisfied. I have never seen a woman in this world that's satisfied. And you, anybody in a relationship, know that. You can do everything you want to do. Never satisfied. He has a good job. He has this. He treats his kids well. He's always home. He does everything. He has a small, and he's, but that bad thing, two things that will ruin a marriage, finance and sex. And he's cool with the finance. Yeah.
Brian, just like we talked a few weeks, sorry for the interruption, but we talked a few weeks ago, last time I was on the phone, we were talking about how if a guy is broke, he's a bum. But if a girl is broke, a guy is expected to help her out. And, she's just going through something. You see what I'm saying? He's just like, why do we get the shit in
right,
this
right.
Every
so,
time
so basically,
comes
it's on the man responsibility.
I get it. We're men, but we all go through things. Now, I'm not sticking up for those guys who just can't get shit together, are bums. But for the guys that, you know, go through a rough patch, maybe get laid off or something like that, and the girl's just calling him a bum because he doesn't have a job, he can't survive. Now, if a girl goes through that, most girls of my generation, I mean, their job is OnlyFans and bartending and stuff like that. That's not a real job, but a woman wants, well, it is a real job, but it's not considered like a 9-to-5, a career where you have 401k benefits like that. A guy in my generation doesn't have any benefits or any 401k or a future that he's planning. I mean, the women don't want, you know what I mean? They want a man who has it all. And unfortunately, no man has it all. Like, every man's going to have a flaw in something.
Amen.
One aspect. You get a successful man, he's not going to have enough time to spend with you. You get a man who spends enough time with you, he's not going to be that successful. He can still be successful, but he's not going to be to the point where, oh, you don't have anything. Unless he's a music artist, he just has free time to do whatever he wants. Or real estate or something like that.
Speaking of that.
1% of men that are billionaires don't have time like that. That's why they're getting divorced. Right. And, like, married 6 or 7 times to a girl whose name starts with the same letter.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I'm looking at the time. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Columbus, because I like that subject, and there's more subjects I want to talk to. When I went to the doctor, we had a little dick talk. But before we go there, here's something that you guys, must be on you guys' mind for a while. We only got 10 minutes. Well, another person, a 9th or 10th person died on that Astral World Festival tragedy. Now, a lot of people are blaming Travis Scott, the performer. A lot of people should be blaming Live Aid, as far as I'm concerned. They put on the concert. So,
people are blaming Live Nation, Brian. Lawsuits are coming. Yeah,
but
and that 9-year-old little boy was the 10th person to die.
Right. But do you think that Travis Scott, the performer, should be sued? This is dangerous ground here, and I'll talk about it here.
I don't think he should be sued. I mean, it was the promoter's job to make sure, and the facility's job to make sure there was enough security.
Right. Now, this is dangerous. If we start suing performers, here's a minute of the story. Listen to this, and then we'll talk. Here we go. Oh, I hate when they do that. They just give you, wait a minute, it's people. Yeah, it's fucking, I hate when it's fucking music and they just play this. But basically, they're going after Travis Scott. And here's where they're going after him. They took his name off of some venues. They're vilifying him. They're saying he's one of the person who's responsible for this. I'm trying to get some soundbite so you get an idea. And I'm saying if this, okay, let me see if this is, it's only a minute. Let me see. Listen. Now, this is Travis Scott at the concert. People are pushing towards the stage. This is what he has to say.
Somebody in the street, turn the lights on.
Okay. He starts playing. Okay, people are saying, now at this point he starts playing, there's a woman saying a person is being crushed in a crowd. He's dying. The music starts playing, and she's screaming. You can hear her in the background screaming that there's people laying there dead. Here it is.
There are some people who were just laughing at those of us who were, like, screaming to get out because they thought it was funny, and they're not realizing that this is terror. We're trying to get out of here. The crowd didn't start out that packed. There was space. We didn't sign up to come here for this.
We're going to get crushed as well. We're screaming. Right now, boom, he's not having a pulse.
I was seeing two bodies laying down right behind me, and
the whole time I was just thinking that they were passed out. And then once the security guard was just right next to me talking to another security guard saying that he didn't have a pulse. And that's when I knew something was really off.
And the identity power search took place while the rapper started singing.
Hold on, don't touch. Security, somebody help jump in real quick.
I'm honestly just devastated. I could never imagine anything like this just happening. I just want to send out prayers to the ones that was lost last night. My fans really mean the world to me, and I always just really want to leave them with a positive experience. And anytime I can make out, you know, anything that's going on, I stop the show and, you know, help them get the help they need, you know. I could just never imagine the severity of the situation.
Wow.
Okay.
What responsibility, if any, that Travis should have? I'll just go down and think. Ellen. We're talking to the artist. We're going to talk about the artist.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Okay.
Travis Scott, I mean, it's not his responsibility. It is his management's responsibility. It is the facility's responsibility. And it is the concert promoter's responsibility. They are the ones who decide how many tickets they want sold.
Right. But let me ask you this. Let's say he's on stage and the fans are saying somebody's hurt, somebody's this, they need to back up. Now let's go to that point. What responsibility, if any, that Travis Scott has?
None.
Well,
zero.
Okay.
Really?
Well, if people were yelling that there was people down, then he should have stopped the music. He should have stopped that.
And Pastor Don? Okay, I got you, Ellen. Pastor Don?
You know what I think?
He's paid to do a show, and because there's a mitigating circumstance, he's still doing his job. If he stopped this show, he can't get his check.
Okay.
I got a question.
And Columbus? Yes, Columbus.
All right. What state was this in?
I don't know what state. I don't know.
Hold
okay,
on. I'll
well,
look it
each
up.
State has each state has a regulation of how many security guards per person. How many people are at that country?
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
So
they said 50,000.
They did not have that.
They said that concert was oversold by 5,000 people.
Wow. Okay, that's the number one problem right there. It's over. Like
it's oversold.
You don't have enough security guards. Now, here's the situation. If they have security guards, there should be, I think it's, for here in Florida, it's one security guard for, I think, every 12 or 15 people or something like that, 15, 20 people. Mm-hmm. So if you got 50,000 people or whatever, how many people are there, you need a bunch of security guards there. Okay, there should be security guards in every single corner of that place and then roaming in the midst. If there is something going on, I understand it's loud there, they should have had those security guards run up on that stage or whoever's in charge of that promotion or go find somebody. They should have had these stipulations in place to go find that. So whoever did this, booked this, created this whole ordeal is the person you need to sue. You can't fall it. It cannot fall back on Travis Scott because
and Columbus, that was Live Nation. That was Live Nation that should have been making sure. And this concert was held in Houston. This concert was held in Houston,
here's the thing.
Texas.
Now, if Travis Scott threw that whole thing and it was on him, yes, he could be sued. It was Travis Scott's event. But since it was Performing Loud or whoever that was, they are the ones.
Live Nation.
And
Live
any
Nation.
Artist, Live Nation? Yeah, any
yeah,
artist
Live
who
Nation
does it. So, I honestly, yeah, sorry. Any artist that does a show needs to do it under a promotion so they cannot be directly sued. They need to do it under somebody, a label, somebody so the label can get sued, not them directly or brand, because that's just crazy to me. I don't think it's his fault. I think There was a clip of him asking, hey, are those people okay, that nobody seems to be talking about that I saw. If they didn't think anybody was okay, they shouldn't have continued the show. That's just my opinion, but I do not think it was his fault.
And Pastor Don, because you're in the business of promoting and marketing,
right.
Should artists be able to be sued?
No, they shouldn't. It should be on the promoter and the people who book that show when they don't have enough security for the situation. I think it's like one security guard for every 50 people or something like that, but there's laws and rules set in place for these shows to go on without a hitch. But when they do go on and they do have these issues, they have to be accountable.
And whoever let 5,000 more people get into that place to sell 5,000 more tickets?
There you go. They have two words. It's called fire marshal. They shut these buildings down, period.
Right. Well, I didn't know that Drake had anything to do with this, because Travis Scott, Drake, Live Nations, and others are sued by the concert goers over the crowd surge at the Astral World Music Festival. So Drake had some part into this shit. I don't know what's going on with Drake.
Drake is an investor.
Is he really?
You put money into it. Yeah, you get attached to it automatically because it's the name that draws people to it. If Drake invests into it, the biggest artist in the world in the past decade, of course they're going to put his name on the thing. If he's investing in something, he's going to be on that.
I mean, you realize what's going to happen, don't you, Brian? Okay, because of something like this, either musicians are not going to want to do tours anymore. They're not going to want to go out.
Right. See, that's the danger thing. Right.
You know, and I know some pretty big musicians.
Right.
And they were talking to me on Twitter. And they said, you know, this Travis Scott thing's got us thinking about, you know, do we have enough security? Is our management doing enough to provide protection for all these people that go to our concerts?
Now, think about this aspect, too. Not only do you have to think about that, now you got people going to these concerts based off the outcome of what these people are doing, how much money they get, so they can start causing trouble and try to get a lawsuit and get some money out of them. People are now going to start targeting these things to try to get some money and lawsuits and stuff like that.
Well, we got 2 minutes, and you're right, Columbus. I just want to put this in here. Let me just put some information really quickly. I don't mean that step on you, Ellen. It just says the suit alleges that Scott, who founded the festival in 2018, had incited mayhem and chaos at prior events, and says the only defendant didn't, you know, the other defendants didn't take the steps to prevent the behavior. It also claims Drake, who appeared as a surprise performer, helped incite the crowd, even though he knew of Scott's prior conduct. I don't like this. I don't like this racism thing, and I'm the first one that says racism and blah 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 blah. But what does Scott? What does Scott has anything to do with his prior performances? And well. You know what I mean? You don't hear that about white performers. Like, well, you know, Guns N' Roses did have a little tiff about in 1989, and now there's mayhem now.
I mean, they're going after this guy.
Why does God have to take responsibility? I think they're going after him as a hit piece.
Yeah, I'm going to counteract you right there about, you know, musicians way back, white bands way back in the day, Brian, there was a couple of them known for doing some damage.
I understand, but in this case, I understand, Ellen, but this case, you're saying, well, in his other concerts and his past behavior, he incited riots. Did it happen? No, it didn't happen. What do you mean he incited riots? Well, he said, come on, y'all, just be free and everything. If there was no riots at the other prior concert, why are you bringing the shit up?
You know what I'm trying to say?
I have a question.
Do they not bring it up before?
Here's the thing. Yeah. They don't. Do these people not go to like EDC concerts and this EDM shit? They have things called mosh pits. These dudes are tripping off of acid, coke, any drug under the sun.
Exactly.
Stepping on each other, hitting each other, passing out, waking up perfectly fine, doing it again the next day. and nobody says anything about it because it's the community. The community is dope, and it's really fun and open. Everybody loves each other.
And
but, yeah, you guys are punching me. I literally talked to this girl. She said she went to an EDM concert last week, mm-hmm. and she got sucked into a mosh pit, and she has bruises all over her leg. I was like, what?
Damn.
Like, oh, I'm okay. It was the funniest shit ever. I said, oh, wow.
Right.
So you like getting your ass beat for fun. No.
Right. And then what's going to happen is she's going to sue the artist because she didn't plan on getting into a mosh pit and was at his concert. This is dangerous ground. This social media justice is dangerous for artists. I understand. If you went after Live Nation, I'm cool with that. You should have had the proper security there. You should have had the marshal there. When you saw that, when you oversold those tickets for $5,000 tickets, you are now responsible for whatever happens. That person should be, but suing the artist himself to perform, we're into some dangerous area here, and I don't like it.
You know what? And it's New Orleans right now. We have a police shortage. It's so bad that, you know, we have a first responder shortage. School News is doing a story. I forget if it's tomorrow or Thursday. But mm-hmm. one of the stories is, you know, Sharice Gibson, one of our local reporters, she's holding mm-hmm. up her phone. She dialed 911. And she goes, mm-hmm. and the recording goes, you know, you have dialed New Orleans local 911. Please remain on the line, and one of our dispatchers will be with you as soon as we can.
Right.
That's how bad it is getting. You know,
right.
And getting back to this, our police, we don't have enough policemen.
Oh, I see where you're going. I see where you're going. There's not enough people to do security in these big venues because of the shortage. Okay,
I mean,
I see where you're going.
You know, and I was getting to the EMTs because they have to be there too.
Right. Well, the fire marshal and the fire department said they were not in communication, and usually they are. It's a tragedy. I hear you, Alan. And you're right, with the shortage here, we'll do it another show because we got cops here who refuse to go with the mandate, and they're threatening to get fired, and a lot of people, nurses and cops and police officers, are boycotting this mandate bullshit, and they're not showing up for work. The shortages.
Our police shortage happened way before COVID, you know, because they were saying, you know, why should we put ourselves in danger when we can't do our job because people are going to come after us? You know, if we try to subdue somebody, they're going to say that we're using excessive force.
Right.
I don't even want to take the chance and get on the force.
Oh, I hear that. But I just want to let everybody know we got breaking news. Santa is not going to be coming to your mall anytime soon. There's a Santa shortage. They don't have enough people. No, seriously. It is breaking news. No, seriously. I'm reading it right now. There's a Santa shortage.
You know, it's funny, but it's not funny, okay?
Right.
You know, people are sitting home on their asses, taking this money.
Right.
You know,
right.
These parents are getting this tax credit for their kids
right.
until December and January, and nobody wants to go to work.
Right. Even Santa, I'm taking it a year off. He only comes once a year, and he says, not this year. So there's a Santa shortage in the mall. So if you go to a mall and there's a cardboard box of cardboard picture of Santa and cardboard elves, take a picture. But, yeah. Just letting you know. Just get
Remember that cartoon? Remember that cartoon, The Year Without a Santa Claus?
The what? Which one?
The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
This really is The Year Without a Santa Claus.
No, I think last year was, with the pandemic, where you couldn't go in 6 feet. Santa's just getting to work. Last year, we canceled Christmas. We actually canceled Christmas. They canceled Halloween in California this year. They actually canceled Christmas last year. In California, they did.
They canceled Halloween in California this year?
They canceled Halloween, and they canceled Christmas. And they were going to cancel Thanksgiving, but they got a lot of shit coming in. And I'm talking California. So I'm just letting you know that there's going to be empty. That Santa chair is going to be empty. He's not going to be there. There's the senior citizens with white beards saying, fuck it, I'm taking the day off. and you only work once a year, they're not doing it. And if there is a Santa Claus, you can't sit on his lap. It's a you know, a plastic thing in front of you, and that's it. Merry Christmas. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. There you go. Thank you for the show. We're done. I say let's take a vote, really quick vote. I think it's very dangerous to sue the performer in any concert. Now, performers, don't be stupid. Put it in your clause. Don't take anybody's word for it. Don't shake hands. Put it in a clause that I cannot be responsible.
They don't do anything on handshakes. They make sure that everything, or they're supposed to make, their management is supposed to make sure that everything is down on paper.
Right. Right. And I urge every manager to protect their client by putting that in their clause so they don't get sued. Do you agree, Mr. Barry? Right. Do you agree, Pastor Don, CEO, and Kate?
Well, yeah, I agree to a certain extent, but, you know, I'm kind of glad I'm on Boost Singer, so the only thing I'll be responsible for or somebody trying to sue me for is somebody else's child support 9-10 months for making love in my crowd. I don't have to worry about these monsters.
Oh, my God.
There he goes. Well, learn your lesson. Wrap it up. Because the rap that you're trying to make money off, don't just take it. If you get some girl pregnant, you're at the age right now. They want you. You know, I tried to resist that shit. I'm not man enough. I caved in every fucking time. It's like, Brian, no. No, I'm not going to do that, bitch. You just want to get pregnant. Oh, my bra unhooked. What? Huh? Why don't I just walk you home because your clothes are falling off and I don't want people to be exposed to the elements.
Brian. Oh, my God.
Elements. I was so easy. You know, I was just a whore. All you had to do is just, I only got 10
whore.
Minutes. I said, we just wasted 3 minutes talking, bitch. That's such a
whore. No, you weren't just a whore. You were a man whore.
I was. When men were men, we didn't say thank you or sorry or may I. We took it. We took it like a cookie. The time we broke that cookie.
Oh, my. I wanted that cookie.
You know, somebody, it was somebody, I didn't play it. I didn't get to play it, but I'll end the show this way. Once in a while, people will say things, and I will play it on the radio. And a woman says, I listened to your show. I don't have it up, but I'm paraphrasing. I listened to your show about 3 days ago, and you disrespect women. I don't like the way you talk about women. You disrespect them, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say it now. She's probably, we're still on the air, and tune in and whatever, because I know she listens to it on Apple, iTunes. She listens to the show, so I know we're still live. I go, I respect women. When I was younger, I thought women were candy. You know, they were sweet. They melt in your mouth. They get sticky. You know, they're candy. When I got older, women were like donuts. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got your fresh donuts, and then you got your day-old donuts, and those are the older women. Okay? I mean, the icing is not quite as nice. I mean, it's a little stiff, and if you could break that donut, you know, you don't want to do that. But you get your fresh ones, but then you get your day over.
It all depends on how you take care of yourself, Brian. Even an older woman can look like a fresh donut.
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. I don't have to take care of myself. I got money. Women don't care about it. To them, it could be an advantage. It's like, he'll die soon. As long as I'm in that will. Long as they can take care of me. They don't, well, in fact, is then what young woman want to be with some man going, give me the oxygen tank, dear. I forgot where I put it. I think it's in the trunk of the car. And I forgot where I parked the car, dear. Well, take care. Tell Jesus I love him. The older you are, they don't care about your health. It works for them. If you're a young girl and you got some unhealthy old man, she's waiting for that shit. And sometimes it takes so long and they kill you. But and if you're, men don't have to take care of themselves. No, they never do. All right. As long as you got
look,
money.
You know what? I don't want a man that doesn't take care of himself, you know, because
bullshit.
I want sex. And it,
let me tell you.
No.
Yeah, let me tell
you.
Oh, you,
sex.
Your horny
and
self.
If you can't have sex, I want sex.
Right. Oh, bullshit. Let me tell you something. I'm 80 years old, and you pull down my socks, and I got gangrene. My foot is green, yellow, pus coming out of my big toe. I get you take off my shirt, pus is coming out of my nipples. You know I'm the ending is near. You know it is. And I got $8 billion, and I'm going to sign it over to you. You're going, really, Ellen? You're going to trade that $8 billion win for some sex, some good old sex? Bull. You're going to fuck the money. Well, here's Benjamin. I'm going to rub it here. Oh, look at Jefferson. He'll be rubbing across your wet pussy, tell you, with the dollar bills. You're going to make it rain down there.
Look,
trust.
Okay, if you're, okay, no, I'm not saying
not okay.
that I want
you
some
know damn
80
well
90,
you say, I would take
no,
the money.
I'm not saying
I
want an 80 or 90-year-old man.
Why
you know,
not?
What? If you're,
that's
if
lottery.
You're like 55 or 60 or something like that, you better be taking care of yourself because, you know, just because you're that age and you don't have any health problems, that don't mean you can't get it up.
Right. But, again, if I have money, you don't really care. You don't want to be fucking those 60-year-old man where you know that you're taking the money and you're hitting Juan, the pool boy, comes every Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's when you come, too. And, meanwhile, you're putting up with me. You're putting up with my flatulence. You're changing my diaper and what's inside. And you're putting up with a lot. I smell like I died yesterday. Come on. The oxygen tank.
Diaper.
I smell like I died yesterday. Oh, you'll stay because of the money makes you do things. And you'll take care of me like I want you to. Annoying me? I'll make you work for it. I'll make you work for it.
I'm going to have a threesome. Go ahead. Bring the big chick in here. Do her.
I would have some. I would make you work because I know you're waiting for me to die. And I would just fake it just to see. Just to see if I'm dying. You'll shake me in the morning. I'll pretend I'm dead. I just want to see how you act because I know you're going to phone going, yeah, he is dead. Yeah, you bring Shaniqua. You bring Willie. You bring everybody. He dead. He finally dead. I'm going, I'm still alive. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Hi, honey.
Come give me some head.
I would just do it.
Good. You have to work all day. Work that head. Get that lips on there, dear.
You're going to work those hours because you're getting my money.
Oh, my God.
It'll take 10 hours, but you can do it.
All right, that's the show, and it's a classy show as always. Thank you for all my sponsors. Let me thank them right now.
What sponsors?
Nah. You know, I got a lot of fucking listeners. We got to start working on sponsorship. I got all these millions of people. I like you, Brian. Yeah, why don't you come on and sponsor me? I don't like you that much. You got to clean up your act. You got a potty mouth. What? Howard Stern says worse than I do. You got to start being correct and I'll sponsor your show.
What?
Yeah.
Did you say I curse worse than you do?
Howard Stern curse worse than I do. He says worse things than I do.
Yeah, and he's got tons of sponsors.
Exactly. Where's my sponsors? I mean, I got a lot. I got millions of listeners. Some of y'all must own a business. But then again, you think, how would you feel if you had a, let's say Pastor Don is really nice. Pastor Don, CEO, says, Brian, I love your show. I want to sponsor you. Hey, cool. All right. You know, I'm Pastor Don, and I got these, you know, these artists and everything, but also I'm man of the cloth. No problem. And then he'll call me, Brian, yeah, Pastor Don. I noticed your title of your show, Why Do Most Men Love Women with Small Titties? Yeah. We may have a problem. What's the problem? I mean, maybe you put big titties, maybe, but the small titties, we got a problem. I'm not sponsoring you. You better put some big tits in there. I want to thank the great Pastor Don, CEO, for coming in.
Or maybe in the words of Queen, fat bottom girls.
Yeah, exactly.
You
gotta
funny,
be correct.
Man. You very funny.
I don't want to be sponsored that way. I want to thank Pastor Don, CEO. Thank you, sir, for coming in, supporting the show and your voice and your artist. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
Amen.
Thank you for having
the platform, bro.
Hey, man, thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome anytime. I want to thank the King of Kings, your Royal Highness, Mr. King Webb. Don't get caught in my web, and I don't give a damn.
And that's his
Christmas album. Okay, yes, okay, King.
I don't give a damn. Santa Claus better
give
his ass to
work. Daddy, I don't give a damn.
Santa better get to work.
Yeah, you better get to work. My dad made me pay rent at 12 because I had a paper route. He took my money. Your room costs money, boy. My room cost money when I was 11. Yeah, you got money now. You better pay. I go, shit. I quit my job. It was too expensive. I still lived there for free. I want to thank Pastor Don. I want to thank King. My dad was so demented. I want to thank the King of Kings. I don't give a damn, and please don't get caught in my web. It is right now downloading. Last time I talked to him was 190,000. I know it's pretty much over 300,000. You know, King appreciates it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he does, and he's getting popular, and he's branding himself. It's time for him to make some money. So just don't download his shit. Show him some appreciation. Give him something, man. You know, we don't do this for free. You got bills. If you're enjoying his music,
amen.
Show your appreciation so he can keep doing his music. You know, that's about it. People don't go to your job and ask you, can you get shit for free? Can you not see King going to the subway and going, yeah, can I get my sandwich? Yeah, here you go. You know, he's going to have to pay for it. You know what I mean? He doesn't go, I'm just going to lick it and download it for a little bit and come back to you and write a review. No, motherfucker, you better pay me some money. It's okay. <You know?
laughs> Hey, King, you can come live next door to me, and my neighbors own the subway. We get discounts all
go.
The time.
There you go. They're paying Brady, Tom Brady, to do a Subway sandwich, and he don't even eat the bread. This is how capitalism works. He doesn't even eat bread. So pay the man, and don't just live off the man. The man had to pay so he can make more music. I want to thank the lovely Ellen, and oh, fuck you, Joe. Thank you, fuck you, Joe, for coming in the studio. I really appreciate it. I love your voice. There was five other 111 calls. I know you come in. You can't talk. You're at work. I know that kind of business. Thank you for supporting the show. We are still the number one rated show in drive time on Blog Talk. We are still number one. I want to appreciate. We've been number one for the last 3 or 4 years. Fuck you guys. I don't know what's wrong with you, but I'll keep coming. If you start paying, Mr. You Pay King, don't make me come over there. Don't make me come live with you. Pay the King. Support Pastor Don, CEO. Support Ellen and her new business. Ellen has something called Ellen's Gifts and More. You see her advertise. She needs to make some money, too. Support her. You don't have to support me.
Yeah,
I got enough money. Yeah.
You know what? This goes back to the thing about, you know, you can't get things for free all the time. Look, people want excerpts from my books. Okay.
Right.
Okay, I'll give you a couple of pages as a teaser, you know, but after that, you want the rest of the shit, you got to download it when it comes out, or you got to pre-order my stuff. I ain't going to give it to you for free.
And that's how people get married. You know, well, let me just touch that. You can touch my titty and everything. Oh, you want that? You better put a ring on my finger. And you get married.
Yeah, what is it? Would it be on
nothing for free.
Put a ring on it. Put a ring on it.
Yes, you like to put a ring on it. I mean, the free shit is over. And I think about this, what is your value? And if you're giving away your value, why should I think you have any value at all? I'm serious. If you come to me, I got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of gifts where people have been on the show and I wear them. You see them. I love the gifts. But if anybody says, hey, Brian, can you give me this for free? Fuck you. Hell no. It has value. And if you can't afford the value of my shit.
A lot of authors, you know, they do share excerpts with their readers and everything.
Shit. You know what's free? You know what's free? You're free to look at my book. You pick it up, I'm charging you.
No, but after that, you want to read. It's called a teaser, Brian. But after that, after you get through the first 3 to 5 pages of the book, you want to read any more? Then you got to buy the damn book.
You know, that's the mindset that they have, Ellen. I don't believe it. I don't think it. I don't like it. You don't see Patterson and everything give you a free teaser. They give you an audio narrative.
Yeah, they do.
You know what the teaser is? The teaser is
on Amazon,
that it's going to...
No.
Yeah.
On Amazon, if you go on Amazon, you can read a couple of pages of their book.
Not happening. Because once they read my shit, they're going to know that stupid shit and they're not going to buy it. See, my thing is get them on that title and let them buy the shit. And then they're surprised that it's like, oh, shit, I made the money. You're not getting a preview of how stupid my book is. Why am I throwing away my shit? I want to thank everybody for coming on. Thank you, everybody. I'm Brian the Hammer Jackson, and I'm hoping to see you guys tomorrow. Ellen Johnson and Get King. Get Download King and Pay the Man. And also, any artist that is associated with Pastor Don CEO, to me, Pastor Don CEO is all right, man. I consider him my brother. I see how hard he's promoting. You're in the right area, Pastor Don King. Amen to that. I hope your families are safe. I'm out of here. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
See everybody tomorrow.
Bye.